a new state-of-the-art baseball facility, and so they had a TrackMan there that they would set up for us.
You're a fastball slider changeup guy,
yes,
right? Did that affect your fastball or changeup at all?
No. I'd say pretty much everything else stayed the same. I didn't want to mess with too many things this offseason. Obviously, always trying to get better with the command and everything like that, but as far as like changing anything, I kept the other two pitches the same and then just kind of tweaked the slider a little bit.
You're talking about when you were younger. You were in high school pitcher shortstop, right?
Yes.
How good was your shortstop D?
It was I'd make the routine plays. I wasn't flashy. Yeah. Didn't have like crazy range or anything and wasn't getting college looks or anything for shortstop. But I'd like to think I made most of the plays for my pitchers.
Where'd they bat you in the order?
I think my senior year I batted second most of the time. So, yeah, we had a pretty good team my senior year.
At what point did you commit to Southern New Hampshire?
So it was late. I committed fall of my senior year of high school, like end of the fall. I had stayed in touch with the coaching staff there, but I was only throwing in the low 80s in like the big recruiting summer.
Yeah.
But they were great and they stayed in touch, and then they had me come to their fall camp, and then my velocity ticked up a little bit. I think I hit 86 or 87 in front of the coaching staff. So they offered me a roster spot that day, and I went home and took a few days to think it over. And then, November of my senior year is when I committed to them.
From your first days there all the way through when you were a grad student, how did you grow?
I think first off, I put on about 40 pounds from the time I got there to the time I left. And that was...
So you look like Drew Swift back in the day.
Yeah, I was skinny. I was like 6'1", 6'2", and about 160 pounds when I got there. Very, very skinny. Definitely like a late bloomer in high school. And then obviously I think being there for 5 years, I had the chance to just mature, from every aspect, social, emotional, all that, physical. I felt like when I came into pro ball, there's nothing that could like they could throw at me that would make me like overwhelmed, because I had kind of been through it all at school, whether it was injuries, whether it was failing, succeeding, playing in like the D2 World Series and losing the big game. Like I'd kind of, been a part of all that in my 5 years. So I felt like I was prepared for all the trials and tribulations of pro ball.
Off the field, completed your undergraduate degree, sport management. You attained your master's. At what point had you decided that you were going for your master's?
Yeah, so I actually, going into Southern New Hampshire, I decided to do a 3-year program. So right off the bat, I was like, I can get my degree get my master's degree while playing.
Yeah.
And at the end of 4 years, I would have a master's degree instead of 4 years just to get my undergrad. So save some money. And then when I got hurt my junior year, I knew I was going to have 5 years of eligibility. I ended up kind of taking it a little slower. So I still graduated in 3 years and then took a year and a half to do my master's and ended up taking a fall off to kind of save some credits. But I kind of knew right away that if the school was offering this 3-year program with a chance to get your master's in a fourth year, that, for a little extra work, I could get another degree for the same price. So it sounded like a good deal to me.
That's awesome. I saw that you did camera work in the athletic department. Yeah. Have you given Ben any camera tips?
No, not at all. But I was talking to Ben in the stands the other day. I do try to like get a feel for everything he does.
Yes.
Because he's always running around doing stuff. But yeah, no, I haven't. I like doing the high and tight camera. I was a big fan of doing like the soccer games and the basketball games. It was a fun student job. So I liked it.
Speaking with Jake Walkinshaw. All right. You are the special project coordinator at Advanced Therapy and Performance, ATP. How did you come to that position?
So that's actually where I train at. And I started, I did my Tommy John rehab about over 5 years ago with them.
Yeah.
And, became close with the head guy there. And because, you're always talking. And we started talking baseball, and then we would start talking business. And then it was right after. So I did my TJ rehab with them, and then the following fall, I was taking off the semester from school because I only had a couple credits left in my year of eligibility. And when he found out I was taking the fall off from school, he put me to work.
Fall 2018?
It was fall 2018. So I started, doing some random stuff, kind of helping him out, and it's just kind of grown from there. And it's great because it gives me, I could do it remotely when I'm on the road, and then when I get home, they put me to work and allow me to make some extra money during the off season. So they're great there.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's
all right.
Awesome.
2019, you go back, you pitch, and you get drafted by the Oakland Athletics, and then 2020, no minor league season. Did you spend that time working? What did you do?
Yeah, I was working. I was coaching. I was working for Advanced Therapy and Performance. And then other than that, just, you know, training. And then I kind of tried to enjoy, like, a summer with my friends that I hadn't, you know, been able to spend time with them in the summer since, you know, I don't even know when, since college, because we were always playing summer baseball and college and all that. So it was the first time we were all home with nothing to do. It kind of felt like we were back in high school, you know, like hanging out with each other, playing video games with each other, no responsibilities. Like it was, you know, it was a tough situation because of COVID, but it actually, there were some bright spots for sure.
You come back to baseball last year. How would you assess how last season went for you?
I think it went pretty well. Overall, I think that it was a bit of a roller coaster. I feel like every week I either had a great outing or a subpar outing. I felt like there was not a ton of in between. So I felt like I either cruised through six innings or, you know, I went a couple innings and got hit around and, you know, was out of the game before I knew what happened. So I think it was a little inconsistent, but at the end of the year, when I look back at it, you know, it evened out to a pretty decent year. And I think I just learned a lot about, you know, dealing with 120. Last year we played 120 games, so that was my first taste of that, all with the same team. It was a grind, but it was fun.
Got two further questions. First, Settlers of Catan. When you leave, Matt Cross separately told me, Trayson Kubo, Kumar Nambiar, everyone said, without Jake, we're missing a guy. What is the power rankings of the Catan players on these Lugnuts?
So it's tough because when I left in April, we were all pretty new.
Yeah.
Kumar had played before and was teaching.
He introduced it?
He introduced it to us. But there's a lot of guys within the organization that play.
Yeah.
But he introduced it to me. So when I left here, I definitely would be putting myself towards the bottom. But I was playing a bunch in Arizona with some guys down there. Grant Holman's down there right now. And then Jack Weisenberger, who's here last year, and then JT Ginn. We were all living together in a Airbnb down there for the past month, and we had the board set up on the coffee table, and we just left it there, and we'd play almost every day. So, I mean, coming back, I thought I was in a really good spot towards the top, and then I've kind of been humbled the past couple days when we're playing in the hotel. I'm yet to get a win against these guys since I've been back. So, but as far as power rankings go, I'd put Kumar near the top because he can kind of control people within the game.
He's quiet.
He's quiet, but he'll subtly, you know, manipulate people a little bit in the game. But I saw Kubo got his first win, so I was happy for him. You know, Cross has a couple wins as well.
I saw you. You were on top of what everyone's doing, and you're going, I don't think everybody realizes how close Kumar was, and they didn't realize.
Nope. He flies under the radar, and he'll, you know, convince people to trade with him when I personally would never. So sometimes I just got to let everyone know, like, hey, don't let him control the game on us like this.
My last question for you is, your last name begins with the syllable Walk. Not ideal for a pitcher, right?
No.
Do people call you Walk?
Yeah, I mean, most guys here just call me Walk. Yeah, that's...
But you've got great command, and it's okay.
Yeah, when I do start walking people, though, it's a bad connection. It's tough.
No, seriously, though, aside from baseball, what else do you like to do to enjoy yourself? What else are you great at?
I mean, you know, when I'm during the season, I like to play video games with my friends from back home. You know, so I'll set up the PlayStation and play with them. Other than that, I mean, you know, I like exploring wherever we're at a little bit, try to do, like, some sightseeing and, you know, kind of enjoy seeing as much of the U.S. as I can because of baseball. I think it's pretty cool. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. Most of the other time, it's baseball.
Jake, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Lugnuts pitcher Jake Walkinshaw. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, and this is Lugnuts Baseball.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Meet Keith, loving dad, board game champ, bus driving pro.
I drive 65,000 miles in my bus each year. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. Like how there are some things I simply can't see. On my route the other day, a car tried to sneak past me and ends up right in my blind spot. I turned slowly, so accident avoided. But no car should be in the blind spot for a 40,000-pound bus.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Back at Classic Park in East Lake, Ohio, I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. So, you just heard my interview with Jake Walkinshaw. I've got another conversation for you coming up shortly. Game 2 of the doubleheader, though, just to confirm, it will be at 7 p.m. between the Lugnuts and the Lake County Captains. So coming up in about 19 minutes, the Lugnuts and the Captains will play the nightcap of today's doubleheader. Game 1 went to Lake County by the final score of 8-0, with Rodney Boone, the Lake County starter, tossing a complete game shutout, a three-hitter, 2 walks and 7 strikeouts. Well, I had the chance to sit down with Angelo Infante out of the Lugnuts pen. Get to know Angelo. Joined by Lansing Lugnuts pitcher Angelo Infante, I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. First, Angelo, which major league team did you grow up rooting for?
So my favorite team, the Major League Babies, New York Yankees. So my favorite player is Felix Hernandez.
So Felix Hernandez, Seattle Mariner.
Yeah.
But your favorite team was the Yankees. Who else in your family besides you plays baseball?
No, my brother, and when he play only, you know, junior, senior. That's it, he no saying. He play but he no saying.
Was he a pitcher like you?
He better with me. He better. He never saying. I don't know. That's baseball is crazy sometimes.
I know you as a pitcher. How are you as a hitter?
No, only when I younger.
Okay, let's talk about when you were younger. How old were you when you first went to the GoPro Baseball Academy?
When the academy, mm-hmm. GoPro Baseball, mm-hmm. I am 13 years old.
Let me ask you, how far was that away from your home?
It's like 10 minutes.
10 minutes away?
Yeah.
So perfect. So you were there a couple of years, and then you signed with the Oakland A's. How was that?
Oh, that's good. That's beautiful. So I go to one tryout. The academy said to me, yeah, you have one tryout one Sunday. In Venezuela, all Sunday, not looking a lot of tryout Sunday. So I remember you had only 15 pitch. Throw everything. I throw, I think, only 3 here. They say only 5 throw, mm-hmm. for here. I throw, I think, 8 here. The 15 pitcher, 12, 13 strike. And they say me, you want to throw next week or you want to sign today for the day? No, I want to sign today for the day. Okay. Next day, hey. Welcome to the A's.
Angelo, you're 16 years old and you sign. How did you celebrate with your family?
Oh, I called to my mom. The first affair, I called to my mom. My mom, no more tryout. I go home now. That she's crying, you know. That's crazy.
Were there other players in the academy who we see in minor leagues or major league baseball?
Yeah, the same Sunday, mm-hmm. we signed one more friend with the Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
Only the 7 guy, this tryout, we signed only 2 guys.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you were one.
Me one and He play now for the Philly.
What's his name?
Juan Aparicio.
Yeah.
He's a catcher. He's good hitter.
Joined by Angelo Infante, you pitched for the Venezuelan youth national team. What was that like?
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I played 2014. Lazaro, he go to
Cuba.
Lazaro present Cuba, Joshua, Panama. A lot of people, a lot of friends. Somebody play now in Big League. We're here. You know, the baseball, it's good.
So you signed with the A's. And in 2016, your first professional season, you're a reliever in the Dominican Republic. Next year, you're starting pitcher. Now we get to see you as a reliever here after you've been a starter. How has it been for you between relief pitcher and starting pitcher?
Well, my first year, this 2016, it's good. So, for you, now is the real baseball. So, the next year they say me, no, you're starting. I throw really, really good.
So the year after that, it's 2018, you pitch in Arizona. Had you been to the United States before?
It's good. When my first year in 2017, when I start, when in this year, so I go to Intrusional and I look USA. That's good. When I go to Arizona, that's too hot. too hot. And after, okay, let's go.
Okay, so Arizona 2018. 2019, you start in Beloit, then to Arizona, then to Vermont, and then back to Beloit. What was Beloit like?
Beloit, that's good experience. So now it's too cold, and Beloit is too very, very cool. And I throw good. Vermont, I'm saying. I throw, I think, three times only in Vermont for a start. And yeah. The manager, he saved me one time. I called him the first day for, and Aaron Nicola, he said me, hey, you come back to Eloy, but don't call in first day, and tomorrow you go to Eloy again. Yeah.
So you finished that 2019 year. First, before we go on to the next year, this year the Lugnuts go back to Beloit. It's a brand new ballpark.
Yeah.
But how is it going back to the city of Beloit?
When 2019, the stadium of Beloit is not good.
No.
Then this year, that's, I think it's the new stadium is last year.
Yeah.
So that's beautiful. Good adjustment.
With Angelo Infante, all right, now we come to 2020, and minor league baseball season is canceled. Where were you when you found out that the season was canceled?
I know, did nothing. When 2020 is canceled, I called to my mom, hey, you come back to Venezuela, or I'm staying in Arizona, or whatever. She say me, no, stay in USA. After the pandemic, airport, everything is closed, so I don't know what am I doing now. Maybe working, whatever. And this month, nothing. In November, the team de Venezuela, Aguilas del Zulia, they call me, hey, you want to play here? Sure, and I come back to Venezuela in November 2020.
Thank goodness. You got to go back home. You got to pitch, too. It had been a while since you pitched. How was that winter ball experience in Venezuela?
A lot of good people, triple A, double A, big league. Yeah, that's, they say similar to triple A, you know, double A, triple A. That's hard.
Who are the best hitters that you've ever pitched against?
A lot of people.
Yeah.
I don't know why for a lot of people big league in Venezuela.
So winter league ends 2021, right back to spring training. Were you hurt last year?
No, so I'm tired, you know, tired. The 2020, no working, nothing. No, it's the same. No, it's the same when you practice, whatever the thing. I know how I'm tired in my shoulders, so I throw him. I throw him only workout, you know, and get Parinson. He say me, hey, couple more weeks, trying good, throwing, and you come back to wherever, Stockton, Lansing, Double A, you never know. Keep it ready.
So last year, yes, you pitched in Arizona and you pitched in Stockton. How was last season for you?
That's good. That's not too bad. That's really good.
How did you spend this last off season? Did you pitch in winter ball again?
Yeah. I not throw a lot, but yeah, I throw winter in Venezuela.
So that brings us to this year, and you're with the Lugnuts, and we get to see you as a closer. How is this year going for you?
That's good. You know, after first reliever, after start, now close 2020, that's good experience. That's good experience. You need to watch the game every time, keep ready for maybe 3-2, 4-1, you never know. Ready for this inning and time.
All right, so you've played a lot of baseball growing up as a teenager and now in the Oakland Athletics minor league system. Do you have a favorite memory in baseball?
My 7 years, I think, is this year. Close is good. It's why I like close. I don't know why. That's my first year that close. I don't know why, you know, this good.
The ninth inning is more important to pitching than the first inning.
Yeah. You need it. I need it. Throw these three out. We win both. Happy to whatever, to home, to the other, whatever. I don't like a lot. I like win.
Your pitches right now: fastball, slider, changeup,
and two seam.
Two seam.
Yeah.
What's your favorite pitch to strike a guy out on?
Now is my slider.
Slider.
Yeah.
How good is your slider feeling?
He responds every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
And then my final question for you is, we've talked only about baseball. What else do you like to do besides baseball?
Oh, the same. Watch a lot of history.
Everything. You watch history?
Yeah. Everything. I watch everything. I want to know more the life. I don't know how you say, conocer.
Yeah, no. You want to learn more about life.
Yeah,
you want so in watching history, you can learn about what's happened. Is there something that you watched recently that you really liked?
Yeah, the life, you know, the everything.
Yeah. Angelo Infante, muchas gracias.
Thanks.
Lansing Lugnuts pitcher Angelo Infante. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, and this is Lugnuts Baseball.
I just don't know what to do anymore.
I wish everyone would just go away.
No, it's nothing. Don't worry about me.
Mind your own business. I hate my life.
She'll see when I'm gone.
Suicide could be right around the corner. That passing comment could be a plea for help. You can help someone before it's too late.
And then she said she wanted to kill herself.
Do something. Contact OK to Say.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jake Darnell, and I'm a new ticket account executive here with the Lansing Lugnuts, and excited to have everybody back in for group events here at the ballpark. For wanting to get a hold of ticket package needs or building an enhanced ballpark magic experience for this season, feel free to get in contact with me, and I'd love to help you get set up. I can put you in place with everything from a small corporate client event to a small little get-together for friends and family. So feel free to get the magic out here. Let's see what this ballpark can really hold, and look to hear from you all soon. You can contact me here at the office at 517-827-2582 and ask for Jake.
All right, we're getting you ready for game two of this doubleheader between Lake County and Lansing. Thanks for joining us on this Saturday, July 2nd, 2022. Lugnuts fall in game one, 8-0, so trying to bounce back here in game two. Adam Jackson with you. Jesse Goldberg-Strassler will hop in with us as well. Let's take you through the starting lineups for this second game as the Nuts look to get even today and try and potentially split the series tomorrow as they've picked up a win on Thursday, trying to get one today, and then hopefully tomorrow to at least get a series split. Let's start with the Nuts, the away squad at 26-47, 1-6 in the second half. Their lineup under first-year manager Phil Pohl looks like this for game two. Drew Swift leads off at second base. Gabriel Maciel bats second, playing center field. Tyler Soderstrom is the DH, hitting third. Jack Winkler steps into the cleanup spot at third base. Kevin Richards in right field, batting fifth. Aribio Angeles is at shortstop, swinging sixth. Patrick McCall bats seventh and plays first base. Matt Cross is catching and hitting eighth. Joshuan Wright rounds out the order in left field. Swift, Maciel, Soderstrom, Winkler, Richards, Angeles, McCall, Cross, and Wright. And they are in support of the left-hander, Jack Owen, that gets the ball in this second game, the Auburn Tiger. All right, as for the other side, for Lake County under Greg DiCenzo, their second game lineup with Angel Martinez leading off at shortstop. Jonah Ronho bats second, playing first base. Jonathan Rodriguez and right field batting third. Petey Halpin, the cleanup hitter and center fielder. Gabriel Rodriguez is at third, batting fifth. Milan Tolentino is hitting sixth and playing second base. Connor Cox bats seventh as the DH. Michael Ramirez is catching and hitting eighth, and Quentin Holmes rounds out the order in left field. Martinez, Naranjo, Rodriguez, Halpin, Rodriguez, Tolentino, Cox, Ramirez, and Holmes, and they will support. The man on the mound, Doug Nikhazy, is the left-hander that will go against the Nuts. Lansing not able to do anything against the lefty starter, Rodney Boone, who went seven innings, complete game shutout with just three hits and seven strikeouts as the Nuts lost 8-0 in the first game. Both managers heading out there to collect the or give the lineup cards to the two umpires is Lansing and Lake County. Both switch uniforms. It'll be Lake County in the baby blues with the captain logo, the face of the captain with that big mustache and the captain hat on the left chest, while the Lugnuts in the road grays with Lansing across their chest in red and the Lugnut logo sitting there in between the L and the A. They've got the red stripe that runs around the collar behind the neck and then down, offsetting the buttons that go right down the uniform, gray pants, black lining down the sides, and the black caps as well. A clean look for the Nuts in this second game as they look for their 27th victory of the season. Lansing coming in 1-6 in the second half, while it's Lake County that sits at 39-34 and 4-3. We told you this earlier in the game of one game one today of two. It is the eighth doubleheader for the Nuts, the ninth for Lake County, and the third time that these two are playing a doubleheader. So far, Lake County has swept the first doubleheader. The second doubleheader, which was also here at Classic Park, Lake County won game one in a shutout. Then Lansing got the shutout victory in game two. So today, in the third doubleheader, it was Lake County that got the shutout game one win. Maybe a shutout win in game two for the Nuts. They certainly would love to take the split, as, again, they'll send Jack Owen to the hill. And, Jesse, this is a game for the Nuts that they would love to get back here and find a way to play a little bit better. They were just shut down by the lefty in that first game.
That was an all-around victory for Lake County, whether you look at what their hitters did against Blake Beers and Shohei Tomioka, or simply Rodney Boone, who is masterful. And that's going to be one of the best starts all year by any Midwest League pitcher. Rodney Boone turned in for game one. So how did the Lugnuts turn the page from that? No Jared McDonald here in the game two offense. Also, Lawrence Butler and Denzel Clark missing their second consecutive game of the day. So we'll see who takes that step forward. And it's going to go right from the first inning. Remember Drew Swift, the first batter of the ballgame in game one, flying out to the warning track in left field?
That was as close as the Lugnuts came to scoring runs. They need early offense to get things going in the right direction.
Let's see if they can get it. It's the Lansing Lugnuts at 26-47 and the Lake County Captains at 39-34. It is a sunny Saturday evening at 7 o'clock as the Captains have taken the field. And so we will turn it over for the call of the game to the voice of the Nuts. Here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
Adam Jaxa, thank you so much. So it is a warm evening here on a Saturday in East Lake, Ohio, east of Lake Erie. The Lake County defense features Quentin Holmes in left field, Petey Halpin in center, and in right field, Jonathan Rodriguez. At first base, Joe Naranjo. At second, Milan Tolentino. Angel Martinez, idle in game one. He plays in game two. He starts at short. And at third base, Gabriel Rodriguez. The catcher in game one was Mike Amditas. The catcher here in game two is Mikael Ramirez. And he'll be receiving the tosses from a lefty drafted in the second round last year out of Ole Miss. How's their baseball program doing?
Yeah, I think they just were crowned national champions last week.
Doug Nikhazy on the mound for the Captains.
Yeah, lefty with a fastball, curve, slider, and a changeup to face this Nuts order. And this will be the second time he faces him this year.
And at 7.01 p.m., he deals high and away, ball one. We are underway to Drew Swift, right-handed batter against the lefty. Nikhazy's front foot is in front of his left foot. He deals. And a fastball called a strike by the home plate umpire Brian Miller. Our bases umpire for game two is Nathan Diedrich. Swift, the right-handed hitting second baseman, 0-3 in game one. 1-1 pitch, a breaking ball high, two balls and one strike. That's what I remember, Adam, about Nikhazy is a lot of curveballs. Shakes off a sign from Ramirez, now nods yes, rocks, fires, 2-1. Fastball swatted foul to the right, and it's 2-2 on the very first batter of the ball game.
Let me correct what I said, Jesse. This is the third time that Lansing has faced him. They lost to him back in the opening day of the season, 7-5, but then won in the second game of that doubleheader, 8-0.
The pitch, curveball, just a little high. Lake County was hoping for a called strike three.
And in that most recent meeting back on April 30th, the Lugnuts tagged him for 7 hits and 4 earned runs.
Payoff pitch here. On its way to Drew Swift. Swing and a miss. Nikhazy opens up the ball game with a whiff. Next up, Gabriel Maciel. Switch hitting Maciel, bats from the right side. Lugnuts wear their road blacks for game one. For game two, the retro gray. Pitch, fastball called a strike in the outside corner. After watching Rodney Boone in game one, how fast does it feel like Doug Nikhazy is throwing? Glove up in front of his face. Steps back, leg kicks and throws. Bounced it in. Maciel in game one was 0-3. Fouled out to first, struck out looking, and bunted out because Rodney Boone not only pitched well, he fielded his position well in the game one shutout. Here it is. Popped him up. Maciel heads down to first base. Catch Ramirez and foul ground right of the circle with the catch. Two outs. The Lugnuts, each of the last two games before game one, had scored 10 runs. They lost on Wednesday 14-10. They won on Thursday 10-3. But then beaten in game one 8-0 and held only 3 hits by Rodney Boone. And Doug Nikhazy is trying to keep this slump ongoing. It takes on Tyler Soderstrom batting third. Two outs, nobody on. First pitch. A fastball for a called strike one. Shortstop Martinez is playing right up the middle of the diamond. And the third baseman Rodriguez is playing in the shortstop hole. Lefty to lefty. Nikhazy's offering. Bouncer foul to the right. Soderstrom in game one, starting catcher. He singled, he struck out, he walked. He has reached base at least twice in every game of this series. First at bat in game two, he swings and fights off a fastball into the netting. And we'll try it again. No balls and two strikes on Soderstrom. OPS now is at 769, batting average at 248. Team high 13 homers and 49 ribbies. Nikhazy deals. Low and away. One ball and two strikes. Nikhazy looks for a perfect first inning. Soderstrom homered in each of the first two games of the series. And since then, they have treated him carefully. Nikhazy throws. Got it foul to the right. Keep it right here. Find us on social media at Adam Jaksa, J-A-K-S-A, at J Goldstress for me, J-G-O-L-D-S-T-R-A-S-S. Email address, jgoldstress@lansinglugnuts.com. Nikhazy to Soderstrom. Ground ball up the middle and right back of second base. There's Angel Martinez. The shortstop swings it over to Naranjo. Out recorded, side retired. And that's why they shift, and it worked out beautifully for Lake County as Soderstrom sent it right back up to the middle of the infield. Three up and three down go the Lugnuts, and out of the bottom of the first inning, here come the Lake County Captains against Jack Owen when we return.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. UVA rays age the skin, UVB rays burn, and both cause cancer. But the perfect sunscreen doesn't count if you use it wrong. Don't need sunscreen on a cloudy day? Wrong. 80% of UV rays still get through the haze. Only use sunscreen at the beach? Nope. Anytime you're outside, UV rays attack the skin, so you need protection. And you have to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equal healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Well, here at the Nuts and Bolts Store, your one-stop shop for all Lugnuts gear. We have a great selection of hats, shirts, novelty items, outerwear, new stuff arriving every week. So stop on by and check out the great Nuts and Bolts selection.
Hi, this is Russ Langer, voice of the Las Vegas Aviators. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now back to the ballpark. Alongside Adam Jaksa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
And now to the bottom of the first inning. Lugnuts did not have a runner reach in the top half. No score. Ano Martinez, Joe Naranjo, and Jonathan Rodriguez coming up. Now the Lugnuts defensively, right and left, Maciel in center, and in right field, Richards. Around the infield, McCall at first, Swift at second, Analyze at short and Winkler at third. The catcher Cross just received a fastball up high. Ball one. Lefty Jack Owen to the switch, hitting on Angel Martinez. Batting right. Next pitch. Martinez lines it foul down the right field line. And the count, one ball, one strike on the Lake County shortstop from Jack Owen.
Jack Christopher Owen, Auburn University alum, fastball, curve, changeup, and a cutter for the 24-year-old lefty. So far this year with Lansing in just one start. ERA just under 5.5, 4 strikeouts, 3 walks.
Break even. Swing and a miss. Strike two. Adam, War Eagle.
War Eagle indeed.
Angel Martinez did not play in game one. He comes in hitting .269 through 53 games. He has 5 home runs. The pitch. Inside corner, strike three called. Owen sits him down. One batter, one strikeout looking for Jack Owen. And he stood there, Adam, like the house by the side of the road.
I never heard that one before. Shout out, Mr. Harwell.
Yes, indeed.
You know, Ole Miss, national champs, but Auburn, a pretty good season as well, making it to the College World Series.
Lefty-lefty, Joe Naranjo rips the first pitch he sees right side and foul into the Lake County pen. Strike one.
Some pretty good programs down there in that old SEC.
I've heard that. Owen kicks and deals. Fouled away to the left side. Strike two. And so Jack Owen went off to attend Auburn as a native Californian out of Aliso Viejo. Naranjo steps back and away from the left-hand batter's box. In game one, Joe Naranjo is 1-for-2 with an RBI single, 2 walks, and a run scored. One out, nobody on, no score. Owen's pitch. Check swing, went around too far, strike three. Drop the off-speed down on him, and that's 2 batters and 2 strikeouts. Next up is Jonathan Rodriguez. Rodriguez in game one was 1-for-4 with a two-run double. Came his final time up. In the four-run bottom of the sixth against Shohei Tomioka. He takes change up, low and away, ball one. Two outs, nobody on. Strikeout looking, strikeout swinging so far against Owen. No score. He pitches. And he hits the inside corner. Strike called. And at the plate, the batter Rodriguez says, wait, wait, wait. Now he's ready. Batting helmet back on. Powerful stance from the right side. Southpaw offers. Fastball outside. Two balls, one strike. That's the thing about Jack Owen. You'll hear Adam and I a lot of times with him on the mound for inside corner, outside corner. 2-1 pitch. Hit high in the air out to left center. It's trouble. Maciel dashes back in front of the lighthouse, jumps up. Can't make the catch. It's off the wall. Left fielder right plays. Rodriguez dashes around second, puts on the brakes, and goes right back to the bag as the throw comes in to Drew Swift. A double for Jonathan Rodriguez, and he didn't miss a home run by very much.
Boy, that's what this park does. That off the bat to me looked like just a deep center field fly that was going to be caught, probably to the warning track, but that thing went off the top of the wall in center. It carries here at Classic Park, and you're right, he just missed making this a 1-0 game.
Maciel almost had a brilliant catch, too. So here's Petey Halpin. Rodriguez at second, two outs, no score. Lefty fires to lefty. Halpin takes a ball. What do you think? Inside, high? Where do you think that missed?
Knee high across the plate for strike one is what I thought.
Well, you're wrong. It's ball one, so. Don't say that too loudly. Home plate umpire Miller might hear it. I'll have to call this game by myself. A one ball offering. Breaking ball low. Two balls, no strikes.
I think that first one was just a touch low is where it missed because it looked like it came over the outside part of the plate.
Yeah, I thought so too. Petey Halpin in game one was the leadoff hitter. Here in game two, he's the cleanup hitter. How often can you say that about a guy? The pitch? That misses high. Stick with me, Adam. It was high. Halpin in game one was 1-for-3 with an RBI double, hit by a pitch, scored two of the eight runs. Owen's 3-0. He swings away and bounces it foul off toward his on-deck circle on the right.
Well, that one has to be a strike. He swung.
That was a strike.
Okay.
Yes. Three balls and one strike and Halpin. Petey Halpin from San Mateo, California. Here's the pitch. A ground ball up the middle and into center field. A base hit. Jonathan Rodriguez around third. Maciel scoops it up, gives a look, lobs into second. As Rodriguez scores while holding his helmet behind his back. An RBI single by Halpin. Lake County leads 1-0. I don't think I've ever seen that before. As Jonathan Rodriguez was on his way from third to home, his helmet flew off his head, but he caught it with both hands behind his back. And he grabbed it behind his back all the while touching the dish.
We've seen some weird things on runners from third to home this year.
Wow. Here's Gabriel Rodriguez. Lefty throws. Right-handed batter hits it up in the air into shallow left. Shortstop Angeles goes out. Makes the catch. That does it. But one run on two hits. With two outs, Rodriguez doubles. Halpin singles him in. Petey Halpin, 16th RBI of the year. And as we go to the second inning, Lake County leads the Lugnuts by a 1-0 score in game two.
My folks are out of town this weekend. I raided their medicine cabinet and got a bunch of good stuff.
Did you get any Vicodin? I need my fix.
Yeah, right here. There's more where that came from, too.
Drug abuse could be right around the corner. You can help. That passing comment could be a clue.
My folks are out of town again this weekend. Farm party at my house?
Speak up. If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, contact OK to Say.
Hey, Brian, come here for a sec.
What's up?
You know that loser in our class? I heard he crossed out people's pictures in his yearbook. Creepy, right?
Yeah, I heard him say everyone is against him and they'll be sorry.
Violence could be right around the corner. That passing comment could be a warning sign.
and I thought I saw a gun in his backpack.
Speak up. If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, contact OK to Say.
You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball, High A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. Now, let's head back to the ballpark. Alongside Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
Ahoy there from Lake County, Ohio. Adam Jaxa by my side. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. We just had a visit by Skipper out of the broadcast booth. Lake County leads the Lugnuts by a 1-0 score. Petey Halpin, an RBI single. In the bottom of the first inning with two outs, plating Jonathan Rodriguez. Now the Lugnuts look for the response. Jack Winkler followed by Kevin Richards and A. Ribielangeles against Doug Nikhazy. Lefty on the mound, right-handed batting Winkler. First pitch, he takes high, ball one. So Skipper, the big green Muppet-like mascot for the Lake County Captains, just barged into the booth after the first inning. Nikhazy's pitch. Winkler drives it to right center field. It's carrying to the alleyway. That ball is down and one hopping the wall beyond the sliding Halpin. Winkler heads into second base. Right fielder Rodriguez gets it in. It's a leadoff double for Jack Winkler, his third double of the year. He turned it around from Doug Nikhazy, and the Lugnuts are in business. Dangerous play, too, for center fielder Halpin, who went sliding in on the warning track right into the wall as the ball hopped over him. The bases umpire Diedrich holds out his hand, says, wait, wait, wait. They're going to allow the outfielders to recover as Halpin is limping back to his position and trying to stretch out his legs. Meanwhile, here's Kevin Richards, slugger from the right side. First pitch takes high, ball one. So Skipper, the Lake County mascot, brought in a whiteboard with a question and had a piece of paper along with it. 1-0, swing and a miss. Fastball by him. Ball and a strike on Richards. Nobody out, Winkler at second. Lugnuts batting, trailing 1-0 in the second.
The disrespect, Skipper.
On the whiteboard was the question, I mustachious question. Breaking ball high. Adam, of course, mustached by my side. So, I must ask you a question. And then the question was, Skipper handed over a sheet of paper. Two balls, one strike. The pitch. Richards pops it up. And a foul ground on the right side. First baseman Aaron Ho is over in front of his base. Makes the catch. Winkler can't move at second. One out. Richards retired. A. Ribielangeles up next. It was a photo, Adam, of Barney the Dinosaur on a white sheet of paper. And there was the caption, "Have you seen Big Lug?"
Now that ain't it. That ain't it, Jesse.
A. Ribielangeles takes ball one, breaking inside. Adam was not the first Lugnut whom Skipper asked this question to. Skipper on the field interrogated second baseman Drew Swift. Ball one delivery. Bouncing ball hit on a high hop over third baseman Rodriguez. Beyond shortstop Martinez, a base hit to left. Winkler waited to see if it eluded them. It did. Now he heads to third as Holmes gets it in from left field. A single by Angeles. Yet another knock. Hit it perfectly with the high bounce. And there are runners at the corners with only one man out for Patrick McCall. So Skipper interrogated Drew Swift. Drew Swift shook his head no, didn't play along. And then Lawrence Butler down on the field tore it up. So Skipper had to print out a separate sheet to bring upstairs and ask Adam. His Lugnuts are protective of Big Lug. Lefty, lefty. Nikhazy to Pat McCall. Check swing. Call the strike at the knees. Big Patrick McCall did not play in game one. Here he is in game two. Patient batter. Three doubles, a triple this year. He's knocked in six. Game number 41 for him this season. Shortstop playing up the middle. Nikhazy kicks and fires. Swing and a miss. Fastball by him. No balls and two strikes. What a chance here, Adam, for the Lugnuts. Down 1-0. A leadoff double by Winkler. One out single by Angeles. Angeles can run, can steal second. The Casey's 0-2. Fastball high. Ball one. Adam then took a selfie with Skipper the mascot, in which Adam gave the big thumbs down.
The unapproving thumbs down, Skip.
Yeah.
Sorry, dude.
Just to let everybody know what Adam thinks of him. A one ball, two strike pitch from Nikhazy will wait. Throw over to first base with Angeles back. Angeles, four steals, five times caught.
There's no question who the best mascot in the league is.
It's not Mr. Shucks in Cedar Rapids, I can tell you that. It's not Poopsie, just introduced yesterday by the Beloit Skycarp. A one ball, two strike delivery. McCall takes ball two high.
Definitely not Louie Loon.
I do not think that it's either Heater or Gem, the two Dayton Dragons.
Crash, out.
Let's see, Fang, the Timber Rattler in Wisconsin. Nikhazy throws. High again, count is full. Let's see, in South Bend, they had Swoop the Silverhawk. I forget the name of their cubby. Anyway, the answer's Big Lug. A 3-2 for Pat McCall. Nope, pickoff though to first. Just a toss over, easily read by Angeles. Nothing on it.
Nobody's as cool as Big Lug.
You know what? Big Lug is, it's not just coolness, it's also just warmth and love. And there's something to Big Lug where you know Big Lug does not have an ego. Payoff pitch. McCall goes down swinging. High Heater gets him. Second strike at Nikhazy, two away in the second. Where it really was brought home to me that Big Lug has zero ego and is a treat to be around is anytime you see Big Lug around Sparty. Because let me tell you, there's a mascot who thinks a lot of himself. It's Sparty. Matt Cross bats right. Hitting eighth in the order. First pitch. He swings and lifts it high and deep to right. Back goes Rodriguez at the wall. It's gone. First pitch, Oppo Taco, Matt Cross. He crushes his fifth homer of the year. A three-run shot. Lugnuts lead 3-1 in the second.
Oh, did Lansing need that? Shutout in the first seven innings of game one. Matt Cross, a la Jared McDonald. First pitch swinging going the opposite way. As Jesse mentioned, we just talked about how good of a month Matt Cross had in June. Well, that is a huge swing to put the Nuts up front here in the second.
Now Josh one right. Takes ball one high from Nikhazy. Nikhazy allows his sixth home run of the year. First runs for the Lugnuts today. Nikhazy delivers. High again. Two balls and no strikes. Adam, he's lost his release point. A double, a single, a homer for the Lugnuts in the second inning. The pitch. Wright takes ball three. Tried the breaking ball and missed with that one, too. Well inside. What do you think Skipper's reaction was to that cross homer?
Smiling.
A 3-0. At the knees, called strike one. Josh one right. The second that ball was cut by Mikhail Ramirez, it tried to head on down to first base. The home plate umpire Brian Miller said, don't go anywhere. It's a 3-1 pitch now from Nikhazy. Swing and a miss, strike two. Top of the order is waiting on deck, and Drew Swift, and then Maciel, and then Soderstrom. Different feel here in game two after game one. Lugnuts lost game one, 8-0. Nikhazy's payoff. Hit high in the air, out into left center. Center fielder Halpin trots forward to his right, makes the two-hand squeeze, and down go the Lugnuts in the top of the second. However, the first batter of the inning, Winkler, doubled. The third batter, Angeles, singled. And the fifth batter, Cross, crushed a three-run homer. As we go to the bottom of the second, it's the Lugnuts leading 3-1 at Lake County.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks? Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel you attract people who tend to be compulsive or abusive?
Do you have money problems because of someone else's drinking?
Are you afraid or embarrassed to bring your friends home?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
More than half of all adults have a family history of alcoholism.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Hi, I'm Marcos Martinez with the Lansing Lugnuts, Group Sales Account Executive. If you're looking to bring a group out this summer to have a blast at the ballpark, give me a call at 517-827-2584. I hope to hear from you, and go nuts.
This is Ken Korak, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
Matt Cross's three-run homer has launched the Lugnuts into a 3-1 lead to the bottom of the second inning with the lefty Jack Owen set to take on Tolentino, Cox, and Ramirez. Owen throws to Milan. Tolentino, fastball, out of called strike one. In the first inning, Owen struck out a pair, got Martinez and Naranjo. The pitch, that too is called a strike. Milan Tolentino, a patient batter, loves to take and take and take and take a little more. And game one, strikeout, walk, double, stolen base, ground out to short.
You think he takes on me?
I mean, we could ask him. 0-2. Just bent off the outside corner. One ball and two strikes. I think a Tolentino game generally has a strikeout and a walk in it somewhere. He lines one to right center field. Here's a base hit. Falls in front of Maciel. Maciel gets it in. And Tolentino has himself a leadoff single. It's the bottom of the second inning, and Connor Cox is coming up. Adam, you know what city Connor Cox is from?
Yes, I do.
I bet you do. Connor Cox is from Aliso Viejo. Which means that he and Jack Owen are from the same hometown. And he yanks the first offering foul, line drive into the stands, then ricocheting around and then right back onto the field.
Well, as a courtesy to his native Aliso Viejo mate, maybe he should ground into a double play here or strike out.
I'll ask him that too. I've got a couple of questions to ask some of these Lake County captains here. Right-handed batter, lefty on the hill. Owen deals the 0-1. Change up down low. One ball, one strike for the former dirt bag.
Well, that's not very nice, Jesse.
The Long Beach State dirt bags. Now, Jack Owen and Connor Cox attended different high schools growing up. A 1-1 pitch with nobody out, runner at first. Now, that misses inside as a firework explodes somewhere near here. Cox attended Aliso Niguel High School, the Aliso Niguel Wolverines. Meanwhile, Jack Owen, two balls, one strike. Here's the pitch. Ground ball up the middle. That gets into center field. That's a base hit. Tolentino the turn. Watches, stays. Maciel gets it into shortstop. Back-to-back singles here on the home second. Jack Owen attended Junipero Serra, J. Serra High School. Junipero Serra Catholic High School in San Juan Capistrano. Jay Serra has produced a lot of big-time folks over the years. And most recently, when it comes to baseball players, just down the road, catcher for the Cleveland Guardians, Austin Hedges. And then the Minnesota Twins super prospect taken first overall, but a star-crossed professional career, Royce Lewis. 2-1 on out. And Mikael Ramirez takes ball one inside. while Jack Owen was in high school. He was named the 2015 Perfect Game 16-under Pitcher of the Year. 1-0, swing and a miss on the off-speed. Adam, I read a scouting report on him as a high school pitcher, and it was, his velocity is not overpowering, but he understands how to pitch. He just understands how to use his stuff out and in and change speeds. Delivers. Ground ball hit to second baseman Swift. He steps on second one, throws to first. Two. Double play. Tolentino advances to third base, but now two outs in the home second. Boy, that ground ball staggered Swift. It was not a graceful trip for him, a couple of steps to step on second base, but he got the job done.
That's exactly what you needed there. Now one more out to go for Jack Owen, but well done there by Swift. As you mentioned, that one was a little tricky for him.
Quentin Holmes, the number 9 batter in the order, shows bunt, pulls back, pitches high, ball one. A runner at third base for Lake County, and they're down 3-1. Cap scored a run in the first. Matt Cross hit a 3-run homer in the top half of the second. Caps threatening in the home half. The deal. Holmes swings and misses. Ball and a strike.
Well, you get that 3-run shot in the top half. Got to put that shutout zero up there in the bottom half. Keep that momentum on your side.
Here's Owen's break even. Change up, down and away. Holmes did not play in game one. He's played in 3 games since returning from injury this year. And so far with Lake County, he's 2-for-10. A single, a double, 5 strikeouts. Here's the pitch. He taps it foul, right side. It feels to me like Quentin Holmes is still trying to get his timing right. He has been here with Lake County for a couple of years now. Originally drafted in the second round 5 years ago. If and when he gets his timing right, his speed is electric. Just working his way back into form. 2-2. He hits a high chopper toward short. This is trouble. Anales grabs and then struggles with the transfer. Holmes is safely aboard at first, and Tolentino scores. Lake County is down 3-2.
It's just unfortunate right there for the Nuts. You get what you want from Owen. He gets a weak grounder, but it hits right off the plate and shoots into the air. So Anjales just has to wait forever for it to come down and rush his timing, and he just couldn't get it out of his mitt in time to even make it a close play over there at first base. Unlucky for Lansing.
That's an infield single. Infield RBI single for Holmes. He's at first a threat to run. Top of the order. Angel Martinez takes the ball low. And the second I saw that ball go bouncing to shortstop, I thought, Adam, if this is any other hitter on Lake County, this is going to be okay, but that's Holmes. He can burn it up the line. Anales is going to have to rush. And he rushed and never got the transfer. 1-0. Ground ball, right side, Swift to his left. Can't grab it cleanly. Skipped up on him in a right field. Holmes takes the turn. Richard Thoe cut off by Anales. Thoe into first base. Tag missed by McCall. Everybody is safe. A single by Martinez. And the captains have runners at the corners.
Just bouncing balls that were hit in the perfect spots. I mean, one shoots off the plate and goes a million feet in the air. The other one just rolling with enough pace and enough speed away from Drew Swift to his left that he couldn't quite get to it in time. And those are usually ground ball outs, just like you saw the double play, but some fortunate bounces in this second inning so far to keep this half inning alive for the captains.
That is the 10th hit this year for Angel Martinez. He's been a Lugnuts killer. And now the batter is going to be Joe Naranjo. Catcher Cross went out to visit the mound. Well, Naranjo is 0-for-1 with a strikeout here against Owen. It's the last of the second inning. A run in the first, a run in the second so far for the Caps, down 3-2. Two outs, runners at first and third. Lefty deals to lefty. High and away, ball one. It was a very short plate appearance for Naranjo, his first time up too. Owen struck him out quick. Misses down low, blocked well by Cross. 2 balls and 0 strikes on Naranjo. This just has the feel of building trouble. I was trying to figure out if there was a better word than trouble. Something is brewing here for Lake County. Owens 2-0. Naranjo slaps it foul to the left side.
Now Barney Rubble also works there, especially after we had the comparison of Barney and Big Lug in our booth.
You're saying this has the feeling of Barney Rubble in this bottom of the second inning.
That's right. Trouble.
You just don't want them to go bam, bam. 2-1 pitch. Line drive right at second baseman Swift. Inning is over. Owen allows one run. He does so on four hits in the bottom of the second inning. He strands runners at first and third. Off to the third, the Lugnuts lead is 3-2. Adam Jackson with the call of the game coming up.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
Did you know that in 81% of violent incidents in U.S. schools, at least one other person had information that a school attack was planned but failed to report it?
How many lives could have been saved if just one person had said something?
OK to Say can change that. OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
The tip information is confidential, so you never have to worry about retaliation, rejection, or being labeled a snitch. It's that easy.
You might be the one person who helps to prevent a tragedy.
Take a stand and protect yourself and others by using OK to Say. Because if you won't, who will?
Hi, I'm Nick Bertoia. I'm the corporate sales manager here with the Lansing Lugnuts. If you're a business looking to plan a fun outing to reward employees, treat clients, and build team morale, give me a call at 517-827-2598 to talk more about our great group venues. Now back to Lugnuts Baseball. Go Nuts.
Hi, this is Russ Langer, voice of the Las Vegas Aviators. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now back to the action. Alongside Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, here's Adam Jaxa.
Well, hello there. For the top of the third, it's 3-2, Lansing leading Lake County, and Drew Swift in the top of the order due up. Gabriel Maciel, Tyler Soderstrom will follow against the lefty Doug Nikhazy. Lansing with that three-run second, the reason they're in front. First pitch, snaps the outside corner, strike one. Swift today 0-for-1, struck out to open up the game. Second of two tonight against Lake County. Here's the second pitch. Shot foul, first base side, look out. That one going into the blue seats, down to the right side of Classic Park. Good crowd on hand coming out to watch the Nuts and the Captains. Next pitch, up high, 1-2. Lansing in those road grays against the home baby blues of Lake County. Lake County with the July 4th themed hats. The pitch popped up, first base side, down in Rodriguez giving chase. That one hops into the bullpen area, and it remains 1-2. Patriotically themed are the Lake County hats. They've got the red, white, and blue across the front, and the captain's C in red. The rest of the cap is blue, while the front facing is white. So you can see the red and white stripes then turn into the stars at the top. Clean look. The pitch. This is on the ground, shot foul, first base side. And it matches there. You got the dark blue with the baby blue as the jersey and the white pants for the captains, while the Lugnuts go all gray. The offering, shot foul, look out down there as that one shoots towards the end of the dugout. Drew Swift is just a touch late as he continues to get a piece of these pitches from the lefty, Nikhazy. Third straight pitch, he fouled off. Here's the next offering. Lifted out to right, this one in fair territory. Rodriguez going back to the track now, steps forward, makes the catch. Drew Swift with some long outs today in these two games, but no dice. One away in the third. Now it's Gabriel Maciel's turn, who flied out to The catcher, Michael Ramirez, in his first at-bat. 3-2 Nuts in the third. The pitch home. That bends up and in. Maciel turns his head back. One ball, no strikes. What a 77-degree game time temp for the first game that got underway just after 4:30. The pitch in on the hands and looped down the third base side and just twists foul by about 3 feet. One ball, one strike on Gabriel Maciel, who will make the turn back from first base and regather the bats. It's cooled off, it seems like, a little bit since that first game as we're playing on towards the 8 o'clock Eastern time zone hour. The 1-1 pitch. On the ground, right side. Diving stop by Naranjo. Gets up, throws back to Nick Hazy, who tags the bag with his right foot. And there's two outs. Oh, what a play by Naranjo to rob Gabriel Maciel. So with two outs, now it'll be Tyler Soderstrom's turn. The internet really struggling here, so I'll try and get you that weather, but not sure what the temp is. Here's the pitch. That's down low, ball one. Tyler Soderstrom 0-for-1. It's a beautiful day for baseball. That's all that matters on this Saturday evening. Pitch home. In there, strike two. Strike one, rather, on Soderstrom. Average up towards 250, sitting at 247 with 13 home runs this year. Two already this week. The pitch. Down low. Two balls and a strike on Soderstrom. Tyler now second in the organization in home runs. Behind Max Muncy. The pitch. Floats in there on the outer third of the plate. Soderstrom a look back to home plate umpire Brian Miller. Didn't like the call. Two balls, two strikes. Max hit his 14th yesterday, the youngster. First draft pick by the A's last year. 2-2. Swing and a miss. Fastball by Soderstrom. And he's not happy again with that second strike call that evened up the count. The Lugnuts get nothing in the third on a third strikeout for Doug Nick Hazy. Still 3-2, Nuts in front. Bottom three is coming up next. It's time for the distal.
Years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section. When Dad injured his back. When your basketball star tore his ACL. Opioids helped with the pain, and you held on to them just in case. But did you know holding on to unused opioids puts your family at risk? Opioids are powerful pain-reducing prescription medicines, but most people who are prescribed opioids don't finish their prescriptions. So millions of unused opioids are sitting in homes across the country. And tragically, more than 100 Americans die every day from overdoses involving opioids. What can you do to protect your family? Remove the risk of unused opioids from your home. Pills, patches, or syrups in drawers, purses, and cabinets. Anywhere they might be hiding. To find out how to dispose of them properly, visit www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
This is Alex Jensen, voice of the Stockton Ports, single-A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. You're tuned in to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the game. With Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, here's Adam Jackson.
Lugnuts hanging on as we bring you to the bottom of the third, making our way through 14 innings of baseball on this Saturday afternoon, July 2nd, 2022. Nuts got shut out 8-0 in game one. They lead 3-2 thanks to a three-run second. Back out for the third, here's Jack Owen against Jonathan Rodriguez. Lefty stands tall on the hill with the baseball tucked inside his mitt, chest high. Turns and time called by home plate umpire Brian Miller. 3, 4, and 5 due up following Rodriguez, Petey Halpin, and Gabriel Rodriguez. The pitch home. Up high, ball one. Lansing 1-6 to start the second half, so looking to get their second victory and try and earn a split tomorrow. The pitch. Driven out to center field. Maciel jogging back. Now turns to a back pedal, makes the catch. And there's one away as he was tracking just in front of the dirt out there in center field on the warning track. Two pitches, one out. Four hits in that second inning. Two hits in the first inning. Let's see if perhaps Jack Owen can get his first shutout half inning. He's got to earn it against the middle of the order. First pitch to Pete Halpin is in there. Strike one. Halpin drove in a RBI single in his first at-bat, scoring Jonathan Rodriguez. The pitch just missed the inside part of the plate as Halpin had started to come around and then backed his way off the left edge of the plate. One ball, one strike from Jack Owen. Turns and throws. Swing and it's fouled back. Two balls and a strike. Fastball, curve, changeup, and a cutter for the lefty, Jack Owen, the 24-year-old who was undrafted out of Auburn. He initially got drafted by St. Louis, but elected to go back to school in 2019. 1-2. That's high. Three balls and a strike. The pitch, low, and now it's 3-2. Bases clear and one away in this third inning. Lefty on lefty, the pitch. Way outside and low, it's ball four, and Halpin continues to be trouble as he gets on for a second time. Jack drafted in the 21st round in 2019 by St. Louis, but he turned down the Cardinals' offer to go back to school to Auburn and then signed as the undrafted free agent with the Athletics following last year's draft. Made his debut with the Nuts last season. Throw over to first to check on Halpin as Gabriel Rodriguez steps into the box. He was typically the piggybacker with Kyle Verbitsky, and that's how he made his debut with Lansing last year. The pitch floats it outside. Ball one. This year, it was Owen that started in Stockton before he joined the Nuts just recently, back on June 23rd. The 1-0 from Jack Owen outside. Two balls, no strikes. This year, Owen with Stockton. ERA sat under 3.5 through 23 games and only started one game for Stockton. 48 strikeouts, 9 walks, and 5 home runs allowed by Owen. Pretty good numbers, and those strikeout-to-walk numbers, excellent. The pitch, 2-0 floats outside, 3 balls, no strikes. He's missed the zone with 5 straight pitches. Now up with Lansing, second appearance and his second start. So curious with him and how much he worked out of the pen in Stockton. 3-0, up high, ball 4. Back-to-back walks, and all of a sudden, Owen just can't find his command. And we'll see if this perhaps draws a visit from Don Schulze. And he is going to get up off the top step. And pitching coach for the Nuts will head out there trying to slow down Jack Owen out of J. Sarah Catholic High School in San Juan Capistrano, California. Jack was the 2015 Perfect Game 16U Pitcher of the Year. And in 2015, the Perfect Game Underclass National Championship Most Valuable Player. So he's racked up quite the awards. 2016 Team Louisville Slugger High School All-American. 2017 West Coast League Pitcher of the Year. 2017 also, he was the Summer Collegiate Second Team All-American. I mean, some pretty high accolades coming out of high school, and there is a ton of talent out there in California. You know, he comes from Aliso Viejo, where he resides, and was born down in Miami, Florida. And Jack Owen helping the Lugnuts to to a 3-2 lead, but got to get out of this jam with one out and two on thanks to the walks. Here's Milan Tolentino. First pitch in there, strike one. Lansing trying to earn a twin bill split for the second time this season against Lake County. Swept by them the opening two games of the season. The 0-1, that's down low. One ball, one strike. Lansing has swept one doubleheader this year. It was at home against West Michigan. They've split three and been swept in three. So add those together, seven total, and today the eighth. Owens 1-1. In there with the fastball, strike two on Milan Tolentino, who had the base hit in the second. Base runners in every half inning for Lake County. Had two hits in the first, four hits in the second, and now the two walks here in the third. After the first pitch out to Rodriguez to begin the frame, the pitch. Slider just off the plate. That's that cutter, actually, that Owen has. And that was excellent. They're running it away from the right-hander. It looks like a slider coming out of his hand, but just missed off the edge. The two-ball, two-strike pitch. On the ground, bounce towards second. Swift to his left, throws back to second. Angeles over to first, just a touch late to McCall. Good effort. And what a turn right there by Drew Swift. I mean, coming over basically to where Patrick McCall would play his first base position if he were out on the fringe of the grass. And then has to turn around and make that long throw back to second base. And Angeles was about a half step late on the throw to beat out Tolentino. So just the 4-6 force for the second out. Tolentino reaches on the fielder's choice. Here's Connor Cox. First and third, two outs, 3-2 nuts in the third. The lefty's pitch. Lifted out to right field. Hanging up, though, and coming in is Richards, makes the catch to his right. Couple of pitches and back-to-back outs. And a nice job by Jack Owen as he leaves the two walks stranded. We head to the fourth. Lansing holding on 3-2 in East Lake, Ohio.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org. and find out how you can become one in a million.
If you suffer from COPD symptoms like shortness of breath and fatigue, where do you turn? There are medications and oxygen, but do you know about pulmonary rehab? 3 out of 5 COPD patients have never heard of it. Pulmonary rehab is an exercise, education, and support program that gives you tools to manage your condition, and Medicare typically pays for it. So whether it's grocery shopping on your own or just walking across the room, pulmonary rehab can help you. Visit livebetter.org to find out about your options for pulmonary rehab today.
You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball, High A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. Now, let's head back to the ballpark. Alongside Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, here's Adam Jackson.
The first zero put up on the board by Jack Owen in that third inning preserves a one-run lead for the Nuts. As we head to the fourth, it's 3-2. Thanks for spending your Saturday evening with us. Lugnuts trying to salvage a split of the doubleheader and pick up their 27th victory of the season. That voice you just heard was Brad Tunney bringing us back, the voice of the Great Lakes Loons. We will see Brad next week and those Great Lakes Loons, those pesky Great Lakes Loons that took the first half title right from the grasps of the Dayton Dragons and earned themselves a playoff berth. Dragons finished second. They are in as well as they come to Jackson Field Monday. First pitch, that's in there. Strike one to Jack Winkler from the lefty, Doug Nickhazy. Before that, though, Lansing finishing up tonight's game, and then we'll have one tomorrow early evening to close out this set. The pitch, Swing and a tapper at home plate. Fouls. It kicks off of Winkler. No balls, two strikes. But, boy, we'd love to see you on Monday. 7:05. Come on out. Enjoy the fireworks. Enjoy the 4th. And enjoy some Lansing Lugnuts baseball with a ton of your friends. The 0-2. One ball, two strikes. Is that was up high and outside. Usually upwards of 6, 7, 8 sometimes into the double figures in the thousands category with the crowds that come in on the 4th. The pitch. That's kicked back off the netting from Winkler. One ball, two strikes. Here, let's ask the man to my right who's experienced Lansing Lugnut games over the last decade plus on the 4th of July.
9 or 10,000.
Pretty darn great. 1-2. Here's a high-hopping ball that comes into the midsection of Rodriguez over to first in time. And there's one out in this 4th inning. Let's just say Jackson Field is packed every year on the 4th. And we certainly hope that you will spend some time with us this Monday, July 4th, 2022, for Lugnuts and Loons at 7:05. Here's Kevin Richards. The pitch. Twisting back. Foul as that came in on the hands. Strike one. 3-2 Nuts in the 4th. You know, it's tough on doubleheader days when you're going to give that trivia question, but I saved it for game 2 for you guys. The 0-1. That comes high and inside. Very close to a called strike, but one ball, one strike. So we'll give you that trivia question here in just a moment. One ball, one strike pitch coming from Doug Nickhazy. Swing and a miss. Pulled the string on him as it dropped out of the zone. 1-2. Wanted to do a Today in Baseball History yesterday, but we got rained out. So I'm going to cheat the system, and even though it's not July 1st, still going to use yesterday's question. 1-2. Kicked back up over the netting. One ball, two strikes on Richards. I checked in with the dean of Lansing Lugnuts Baseball.
Oh, okay.
That's you, Jesse. Yeah, I used the Tim Stout reference there. Jesse cleared me, said I could do it. 1-2. Breaking ball stays up. Two balls, two strikes. The dean of Lansing Sports, Tim Stout, on the game, 7:30 a.m. Nope, I'm talking about the dean of Lugnuts Baseball right here to my right. 2-2. Swing and a miss. Pulled the string on him again, and there are two outs. Well, speaking of pulling the string and pretty good pitchers, how about that guy named Bob Feller, a former Cleveland Indian? Of course, we are here with the Cleveland Guardians now and the High A affiliate, the Lake County Captains. Well, it was back 71 years ago yesterday, the pitch. Swatted back foul by Eurybio Angeles that Bob Feller threw his third no-hitter of his career. Pretty darn good accomplishment. The pitch home. That's inside. One ball, one strike. So he was the third pitcher in Major League Baseball history to throw his third no-hitter. Who were the other two?
Ooh.
The company that he joined. 1-1. Swatted high up into the air. Down the first base side. Long run. Rodriguez coming in. Loses his cap. In fair territory. Tucks it in and makes the catch just in front of his right chest for the third and final out. So if you know Bob Feller, when he threw that third no-hitter back in the 50s, 71 years ago, who are the other two pitchers that had thrown three no-hitters as well? Give us the answer at Adam Jaxa, at Jay Goldstress on Twitter, Jay Goldstress at LansingLugnuts.com. You know the gist of it. We're heading to the bottom of the 4th, 3-2 Nuts.
If you suffer from COPD symptoms like shortness of breath and fatigue, where do you turn? There are medications and oxygen, but do you know about pulmonary rehab? 3 out of 5 COPD patients have never heard of it. Pulmonary rehab is an exercise, education, and support program that gives you tools to manage your condition, and Medicare typically pays for it. So whether it's grocery shopping on your own or just walking across the room, pulmonary rehab can help you. Visit livebetter.org to find out about your options for pulmonary rehab today.
Meet Keith, loving dad, board game champ, bus driving pro.
I drive 65,000 miles in my bus each year. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. Like how there are some things I simply can't see. On my route the other day, a car tried to sneak past me and ends up right in my blind spot. I turned slowly, so accident avoided. But no car should be in the blind spot for a 40,000-pound bus.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Hi, I'm Nick Bertoia. I'm the corporate sales manager here with the Lansing Lugnuts. If you're a business looking to plan a fun outing to reward employees, treat clients, and build team morale, give me a call at 517-827-2598 to talk more about our great group venues. Now back to Lugnuts Baseball. Go Nuts.
This is Alex Jensen, voice of the Stockton Ports, single-A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. You're tuned in to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the game. With Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, here's Adam Jackson.
First pitch is a broken bat, roller to short, fielded by Angeles over to first base, and Patrick McCall down on a knee to grab it, and there's one away, and someone pick up the shard there down the left side of the infield. Little help there from Jack Owen as he hands it to the bat boy. Michael Ramirez down on one pitch. And there's one away to open up this fourth inning.
Adam, you mentioned Bob Feller in the top half with the trivia question. You had some great fun reading about him.
Oh, man. The pitch, that's outside. Ball one. Yes, we both were reading about the heater from Van Meter. Bullet Bob, Rapid Robert, the 1-0. Cued off the end of the bat. One ball, one strike. This guy was debuting with Cleveland at 17 years old. He just skipped the minors. 1-1 pitch. And that's kicked back. One ball, two strikes. He played all of his Major League Baseball from 1936 to 1956 with one organization, Cleveland, an eight-time All-Star, World Series champ. He threw three no-hitters, 12 one-hitters. 1-2 is up and outside. Two balls, two strikes. Very unique, too. I mean, he was getting ready to sign a new deal, Bob Feller was, with Cleveland, driving to meet up to negotiate. Here's a bouncing ball to short. Angeles has it, whips it over to first. Bending down is McCall. He's got the second out, 6-3 as well there, as Ramirez and Holmes are down. Back to the top of the card, Angel Martinez. Bottom four, two outs, 3-2, Lugnuts leading. Bob Feller was headed over from his Iowa location, Van Meter, Iowa, where he grew up, and headed to Cleveland to negotiate the new deal when, unfortunately, the attack on Pearl Harbor happened. He heard it on the radio. He immediately enlisted in the military. So he missed a few years of baseball and then came back and was just as good. I'm going to visit here from Don Schulze, who's out there discussing things with Jack Owen and the rest of the infield. And my favorite thing I found out about Bob Feller, the heater from Van Meter, yesterday, I said, Jesse, do you know how much Cleveland signed him for? How much do you sign a guy like that? I mean, this is an organization-changing arm that they got. $1 and an autographed baseball is what they signed Bob Feller for.
Incredible.
Man, some great nuggets on Bob Feller that we were reading yesterday on Sabre and his Wikipedia page and a couple other sources. And he... 71 years ago, as the pitch misses outside, as of yesterday, threw that third no-hitter to join a couple other pitchers at the time. The pitch is a hard hit shot. This time gets through the hole. Base hit between Winkler and Angeles. And Angel Martinez is on with two outs in the fourth. What do you got, Jesse? Do you have something that you really enjoyed? I know you were sending me a couple of things yesterday on Bob Feller. What stuck out to you?
I got something. So August 7th, 1946, they wanted to figure out how fast did Feller throw. So they set up military equipment at Griffith Stadium in Washington, D.C. Feller held out for more money. They said, we'll pay you $700 to do this experiment. So he did with the military equipment. It clocked his fastball at 98.6 miles an hour arriving at home plate. But now we clock pitchers' fastballs coming out of their hands. So it's estimated if it was 98.6 when it arrived, it might have left his hand at 104 to 107.
Wow. There's a reason they called him Bullet Bob, Rapid Robert. a heater from Van Meter. He could sling it. As Lugnuts have Phil Pohl out there, he makes the change, and that'll do it for Jack Owen. Gives up the base hit, and as the Lugnuts try and go through this top of the order for a third time, it'll be a new man on the mound. Another lefty from Jack Owen to Kumar Nambiar, the Settlers of Catan whiz, as you heard in the pregame today. Jesse caught up with Jake Walkinshaw, and he said, look out for Kumar Nambiar, kind of that silent assassin that doesn't say much during the game, and he's buddy-buddy with you, but then you look up and you go, this guy's about to win. That's what Jake was talking about in
that
interview
with
him.
Yeah.
Don't give this guy what he wants. Well, he has been getting what he wants this year on the mound, Jesse, and hopefully he can continue that here with a runner at first, two outs, and a 3-2 lead for the Nuts in the fourth.
I had such a great time sitting down and watching a Settlers of Catan game with the crew, with Nambiar, with Walkinshaw, with Matt Cross, Trayson Kupo, and Joe Demers. And yeah, there were players who were confident. Joe Demers was confident. Trayson Kupo, very confident. He had won the previous game. Matt Cross was feeling good about how he was playing. And then Kumar Nambiar very quietly beat them all. Last time that we saw him on the mat earlier in the series, went two innings. First inning was perfect. Second inning, he ran into trouble, allowed four hits and two runs. He struck out one. Kumar Nambiar overall this year, 25 appearances, 4.23 is a ERA. But the league is batting only .209 against him, 38 and one-third innings, and only one home run allowed.
See if he can get Joe Naranjo, lefty-lefty matchup. The pitch starts him high with a fastball, ball one. Naranjo 0-2, struck out in the first. Pretty hard hit ball in the second for the final out. It was a line out to Drew Swift at second. 1-0 pitch. Oh, that one just misses. Right there at the letter level. But no call there from Brian Miller. Two balls, no strikes.
It's curveball time.
Let's see what Kumar comes with. There is the curve, and it's lifted out to left field. Shallow. In comes Joshuan Wright. And Jesse was right as Joshuan Wright makes the catch. And we are heading right for the fifth. 3-2, Lansing leading from Classic Park.
A friend told me she was being abused. I told her we should tell someone. She told me no and said that if I ever told anyone, I would lose her as a friend. I can't lose her friendship, but I was scared that if I said nothing, I would lose her to the abuse. I made a decision to submit a tip to OK to Say. I took the risk of losing my friend, but helping keep her safe was more important in the long run. If you know someone who's being abused and you want to talk but you're scared, that's okay. You can text OK to Say. That's 652729. All tipsters' identities are confidential.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
Protect yourself and others by using OK to Say, because if you won't, who will?
This is Ken Korak, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
Oh, the sweet sounds of Ken Korak. Tough day today for the A's. Dropped a close one, 2-1 against the Mariners. They did win last night, though. A's were up 1-0 for most of that game, but the Mariners sneak by with the 2-1 victory. Here, Lansing trying to perhaps avenge their parent club and find a way to win a one-run game. They're up 3-2 as we come to the fifth. Patrick McCall, Matt Cross, Joshuan Wright, the final third in the order, due up against the starter and lefty, Doug Nickhazy. His first pitch, up high, ball one, to open up this fifth inning. Patrick McCall today, 0-1, strikeout back in the second. Lansing just making it through the order for a second time in this fifth inning. The pitch, in there, strike one with the curve. That shows you how good Doug Nikhazy has been. He gave up that big second inning of three runs with the three-run shot by Cross. Pitch, swing and a miss on the high breaking ball. One ball, two strikes. But since then, he has set down seven straight, including a couple of strikeouts. Lefty on lefty. Here's the 1-2 offering to Patrick McCall. Hammered down the right field side. That ball is fair and headed towards the wall. It bounces off the Myers side. McCall is around first and gliding into second. It's a stand-up double for Patrick McCall to open up this fifth inning. Fourth double this year for Patrick McCall. And Lansing now an opportunity potentially tack on an insurance run or two in this fifth inning. We just hit mention, seven straight retired by Nikhazy. No more after the pure swing from McCall down the line. Matt Cross now digs in. Homered in his first at bat. First pitch sweeps down low, ball one. Five home runs this year for Cross. It was the first pitch that he took out to right field over the head of Jonathan Rodriguez onto the berm and extends from the right corner to right center. The pitch, breaking ball, jets in on the outside corner, strike one. So McCall at second, Lugnuts in front 3-2 in the fifth, even though the captains out hitting them 7-4. We've had an error-free day today through the first 11 innings of the doubleheader. The pitch, that's in there, breaking ball again, outer third of the plate, 1-2. The captains won 8-0 in game one, the first seven inning affair. Out hit Lansing 10-3, no errors from either team, and no errors so far in this one. The pitch home. Runs inside. McCall got a good read out of it. He's heading to third. Head first slide. Throw down is late as Rodriguez can't even apply a tag. Good heads up there from Patrick McCall on the wild pitch, and he is now 90 feet away from making this a 4-2 game in the fifth with nobody out and a 2-2 count on Matt Cross.
It's the old one-man rally. Aggressive at the plate, aggressive on the bases.
Infield now drawn in. 2-2 pitch. Hammered out to left center field. On the run is Halpin. Still trying to track it. Makes the catch as he heads to the track just in front of the wall. This will score Patrick McCall. It's 4-2 as Matt Cross has now supplied all four runs today. But Petey Halpin robbing Matt Cross of a potential another extra base hit.
Cross leaned into that one, too. He bent the back, but he hit it to the deepest part of the ball yard. Got the job done, that situational hitting.
He's going, Jared McDonald had three the other day. I got to try for two. The pitch in there to Joshua on right low as he squared the bunt. Ball one, but the most important part, get the run in, and Matt Cross did. That was about the spot, too, where Jared McDonald's third home run went yesterday. 1-0. That's up high. Joshua didn't offer. Two balls, no strikes. And when I say yesterday, I mean Thursday. Rained out yesterday.
But that's the importance of Pat McCall moving from second to third on the wild pitch.
Absolutely. Caught ball. He still can score. 2-0. Elevated breaking ball. Three balls, no strikes. Jared McDonald went home run to right, home run to right, home run to left center. And that's right where that ball was caught by Matt Cross out there just in front of the lighthouse. That comes inside, high to right as well, and he heads down to first base on a four-pitch walk.
It's really good stuff out of the bottom part of the order.
Just about to say that as well. I mean, look at this. You get the three-run shot from Cross. Then you get the sac fly from Cross after you get a double. Patrick McCall in the seventh spot, and now right, who had a pretty good swing. And his first at-bat walks here for Drew Swift and back to the top of the order. The pitch. Down low, ball one. 4-2, Lansing leading in the top of the fifth. Still only with those four hits, but some timely swings from Matt Cross. Lugnuts have done it with the long ball here at Classic Park. I think teams just love coming here. Offenses love coming here in the Midwest League, because that ball just flies off the bat. And it's done that again this week for the Nuts. The pitch home. Lifted out to right field. Backing up Rodriguez on the run to his right, makes the catch on the track. That is the third ball that Drew Swift has sent out to the warning track in these two games.
I like it, though. You and I have talked about Drew in terms of, will we see more pop out of his bat? He is starting to drive it more. Drive it to left, drive it to right. The results just haven't turned out his way. But if he keeps this up, it will turn his way.
Yeah, getting that ball up as well as driving it. Some good swings, just a little short of his second home run. Here's Gabriel Maciel with one on and two out. First pitch bends in, ball one.
If that pitcher makes a mistake, you punish it.
And Swift has done that a few times today, but has just missed one to left and then two out to right. Nick Hazy's pitch, down low, two balls, no strikes. Patrick McCall coming in to score the fourth run in this fifth inning. Maciel maybe find a gap. Wright could get going here. The 2-0. Hammered out to left field, sky high, backing up is Holmes, and he will circle just in front of the track and make the catch. Some good swings, but just a little bit too much under that from Maciel. He was looking for the two-run shot. Let's head to the bottom of the fifth after the double from McCall. A sack fly by Cross to bat him in. Lugnuts doubling up the captains in Classic Park.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section. When Dad injured his back, when your basketball star tore his ACL, opioids helped with the pain, and you held on to them. Just in case. But did you know holding on to unused opioids puts your family at risk? Opioids are powerful pain-reducing prescription medicines. But most people who are prescribed opioids don't finish their prescriptions. So millions of unused opioids are sitting in homes across the country. And tragically, more than 100 Americans die every day from overdoses involving opioids. What can you do to protect your family? Remove the risk of unused opioids from your home. Pills, patches, or syrups in drawers, purses, and cabinets. Anywhere they might be hiding. To find out how to dispose of them properly, visit www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
This is Alex Jensen, voice of the Stockton Ports, single-A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. You're tuned in to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the game. With Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, here's Adam Jaxa.
Bottom of the fifth inning at Classic Park in Eastlake, Ohio. 4-2 Lansing lead. Kumar Nambiar's first pitch. Oh, a big swing and a miss. Strike one there on Jonathan Rodriguez. Came right out of his stance. Kumar Nambiar said, here's a challenge fastball, and I'm winning that one. 0-1. Up high outside. One ball, one strike from Nambiar to the righty. Jonathan Rodriguez, 1-for-2. Double in the first, then came around to score the captain's first run. Flied out to center in the third. Nambiar's 1-1.
Oh.
Hook in there, strike two on the inner third.
I mean, when you can break off a curveball after a little cheese.
I like that. Could you imagine? Play by play, I give the pitch here and then you give the sound effect. I like that. Swing and a miss. He chased that one outside low. And there's the first strikeout for Kumar Nambiar. One away.
That sound effect supplied by that ball exploding into Matt Cross's mitt.
Yeah, that sound effect right there was just a big whoosh. 4-2 nuts here in the fifth. One out. Here's Petey Halpin. He's 2-for-2 in terms of reaching today. RBI single and a walk. Lefty on lefty. The pitch. That's in there. Fastball. Strike one. Hey, wanted to check in with the rest of the league, see what's going on in this Saturday, July 2, 2022.
What's going on?
What's going on? Yo, one. That's shot back foul. No balls, two strikes. Well, I'll tell you what's going on, Jesse.
Oh.
Let's start at LMCU Ballpark, home of our hated rivals, West Michigan, who now 36-37, back close to the 500 mark, but they are getting blanked today by Fort Wayne. The 0-2. On the ground to the right side of Swift, and it's a base hit. Just snuck through, and Petey Halpin is on for a third time. He is a problem. Good pickup by the Cleveland Guardians organization. Petey Halpin, the third rounder back in 2020. It's 3-0 Fort Wayne. They scored three in the fifth, out-hitting West Michigan 7-3. That game in the bottom of the sixth over at LMCU Ballpark. The pitch. Strike one on Gabriel Rodriguez. Check out on the first and second place finishers, Great Lakes and Dayton at Dow Diamond. It's a 1-0 lead for the Loons. They just scored in the fifth. Still have a runner at second and two outs. Nambiar throws back to first to check on Halpin. He's in no problem. At Modern Woodman Park in the fourth, it is Peoria blanking Quad Cities 2-0. Nambiar's pitch. That shot foul. No balls, two strikes on Rodriguez. Beloit, those pesky Skycarp that took 10 of 12 this year against the Nuts. Well, they're getting blanked by South Bend at ABC Supply Stadium. 2-0, Cubs leading. The 0-2 pitch. Lifted out to left field, and backing up is Josh Juan Wright. Now over to his right, makes the catch above his head. Two away.
Do you remember Larry Larson, voice of the Beloit Skycarp, told us how important a series that would be? Beloit defeated the Lugnuts in the first three games of the second half. If they lose today, they will have lost all five games in that series against South Bend.
And they left town 500 for the first time on the year.
No longer.
Yeah, 34-38 now. And Jesse's right, now they're down 2-0 in that game. Could be five games back. They just made all that groundwork to get back there, and South Bend said, we don't care. They've won that series already and potentially looking for a six-game sweep at ABC Supply Stadium. Don Schulze is out there with the entire infield to chat with Kumar Nambiar with two outs and Milan Tolentino coming to the plate. And the last game going on today, outside of the one we're watching here, Wisconsin hosting Cedar Rapids at Fox City Stadium, and it is the Colonels in front 1-0 in the third inning there. So that's a look around the Midwest League today. And, of course, already the one game completed, the first of the doubleheader today in Eastlake, Ohio, where Lake County blanked the Nuts 8-0. So here is Milan Tolentino from the left side against the lefty Nambiar. The pitch, low and outside, ball one. You think they call him Gran Tolentino?
I think you can do a lot in terms of nicknames with his great name.
1-0. That's in there, strike one. Jesse, you're a big name guy.
Yeah.
In baseball, in any sport, but especially in baseball, this name has got to be up there. Or maybe like an under-the-radar great name. Hopping ball foul, first base side, one ball, two strikes, Milan Tolentino. That is an excellent name. There's some good ones across the league, across baseball, across minor league baseball, but it just flows. Milan Tolentino. Open stance from the left side as he rests the bat on his back shoulder. 1-2. Shot foul, third base side.
Let's say you got his rookie card and it was in perfect condition. That would be a mint Milan.
Beautiful. Chef's kiss.
I'm a big fan of mint Milanos over here.
Yeah, they're not bad. 1-2. Runner takes off. High hopping ball foul. First base side. Just past Patrick McCall and headed towards the bullpen area.
It was funny to see Milan Tolentino's family is in town, and I saw his father signing autographs down the right side. His father, born in Mexico City, made it up to the major leagues, and now broadcasting for the Angels.
Ah, pretty cool. He's been doing that for, what, like 15 years?
Yes.
One ball, two strikes.
I texted the broadcaster for Lake County, John Vaccari. The second I realized that earlier this series, I said, my goodness, his father is the Spanish radio voice of the Angels. And John texted me at the same time, yes, he's on air with me right now calling the game.
1-2 inside. Two balls, two strikes. Oh, that's pretty cool. Tolentino has Got a good guy to learn from. 15 years in professional baseball. That's the 15 years, I apologize. And we get strike three coming to the plate. Tolentino watched it go by. And that will do it for him and the captains in the fifth. They leave Petey Halpin at first base. Lansing stays in front 4-2. We're off to the sixth. Jesse Goldberg-Strassler takes you the rest of the way.
As the world faces the challenges of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, Lions recognize that kindness matters now more than ever. And Lions and Leos are finding ways to continue to serve our communities, including ordering food delivery for healthcare workers, holding story time for children online, and providing surgical masks to medical professionals and first responders. Empowering us to do more, Lions Clubs International Foundation has provided nearly $2.5 million in grant funding for COVID-19 relief. And that support continues to grow. For more than 100 years, in times of need, Lions always find a way to help those around them. And after we emerge from this, we will be stronger than ever. Visit lionsclubs.org to learn more.
This is Alex Jensen, voice of the Stockton Ports, single A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. You're tuned in to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the game. With Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
To the top of the sixth inning with Doug Nikhazy remaining on the mound. The lefty with the high angle arm slot. His captains are trailing the Lugnuts 4-2, despite Lake County doubling up the Lugs in hits 8-4. But the Lugnuts scored three in the second inning on one big swing by Matt Cross. Then in the fifth inning, a double by Patrick McCall came home on a Matt Cross sack fly. And so Cross all four RBIs. Onward to the sixth inning, 3, 4, and 5. Soderstrom, Winkler, and Richards coming up, and then Anales, McCall, and then Cross in the sixth inning. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler with Adam Jaxa. First pitch, Tyler Soderstrom takes a breaking ball inside, ball one. There was an amazing situation that took place yesterday over in the California League. Ball one offering, Soderstrom takes it in, two balls, no strikes. Tyler's 0 for 2 with a ground out to short and a strikeout swinging. The mayor of Lake Elsinore, as it turned out, had always wanted to be a broadcaster. 2-0. Grounded foul to the right side into the netting. Bat boy collects. And so the mayor of Lake Elsinore had told the Lake Elsinore Storm general manager many times over the years, if ever you guys need anybody to call a game, get me on there for an inning. I want to do it. 2-1. Soderstrom whacks it foul over the netting on the left. 2 balls, 2 strikes. And then yesterday, the Lake Elsinore Storm broadcaster came up ill. And the general manager gave the mayor a call and said, you want it? It's yours. Break even. Soderstrom goes down swinging. Got him with the off speed. Nikhazy strikes out Soderstrom for a second time. And now 5 strikeouts for the Southpaw. 1 up, 1 gone. Bring up Jack Winkler. So, yes, the mayor of Lake Elsinore was the guest broadcaster called play-by-play as the Storm played yesterday against Inland Empire in California League action. And wouldn't you know it, Jack Winkler takes the ball low. It turned into the first no-hitter in franchise history for the Lake Elsinore Storm. And if you bring up the highlight, there's the mayor calling the final out. 1-0. Inside, 2 balls, no strikes.
Wally Pipped?
Yeah. I mean, if Andy Shore ever wants to try his hand at baseball broadcasting, I wouldn't mind a no-hitter. 2-0. Ground ball bounced down toward third base. In comes Rodriguez, lets it roll, and it's a fair ball. He tried to snatch it away from in front of the bag, but he snatched it, and it was fair. And it's an infield single for Jack Winkler.
Nice try, Mr. Rodriguez, down there. I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
I'm going to tuck it in the line there, Jack Winkler. How about a bomb now?
Fifth hit of the game for the Lugnuts, second hit for Winkler. And out of the first baseside dugout, here comes Greg DiCenzo. Let's see if the manager has the hook for Nikhazy. Already the reliever's walking in, and now the signal was made. The reliever was coming even before there was a signal. his long dark brown hair flapping behind him as he jogs. Doug Nikhazy is done.
Isn't that like against baseball code to walk your way to the mound before the point comes?
Yes. There's a classic baseball story about a rookie reliever waiting to make his major league debut who's in the pen. And they tell him, quick, run out to the mound. And he runs out to the mound with his glove. It goes, I'm ready. And he looks and he sees the starting pitcher still on the mound. And the manager looks at him and says, starting pitcher's glove broke. Give him your glove. Go back to the bullpen.
Oh, that's tough.
Yes. So the Lake County Captains make the call to the bullpen in the top of the sixth inning. They are trailing the Lugnuts by a 4-2 score. And the new man in is the right-hander Zach Hart, 6'4", 235 pounds, out of Hartford, Connecticut. Adam, before you ask, before I ask you about Zach Hart, you know everyone deserves a great smile.
Oh, yeah.
And Grewball Orthodontics is here to help you, Lugnuts fans. Grewball Orthodontics accepts most insurance, and whether it's braces or Invisalign aligners, anyone can get the smile they've always wanted with their affordable payment plans. With one of the country's leading orthodontists right here in the Lansing area, they love to see Lugnuts fans smile with confidence. Get that amazing smile you deserve. Visit yourgrewballorthodontics.com today and book your free consult. That's grewballorthodontics.com. Adam, how about Zach Hart?
Yeah, let me tell you about Zach Hart. This man has an ERA just under 5, 4.76 through 15 games. He's given up 3 home runs this year, 32 strikeouts, just 12 walks. Opponents batting just a touch over 200 against the righty. He's allowed 12 total earned runs this year.
Have a heart, Adam. Zach Hart will take on Kevin Richards, Aribil Anales, and we'll see if Patrick McCall can come up there. The first pitch, swing and a miss. Kevin Richards, strike one. Richards today is foul flied out to first, and he struck out swinging his last time. Hart has his sign out of the stretch. Nods, holds, holds, throws. Missed inside. One ball and one strike. Today in baseball history, Adam, you found Bob Feller. I found something else. Have you ever heard of Big Ed Delahanty?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. We'll talk about his death. There's a breaking ball down and away. Two balls and one strike. Big Ed Delahanty, in the turn of the century, was, you could argue, the greatest player in Major League Baseball. If you look at his stats, at 238 hits in 1899, his home runs, doubles, RBIs, stolen bases, he was the most powerful, he was the fastest, he was a superstar in the National League. 2-1, up high, 3 balls and a strike. He played for Philadelphia, he played for Washington as he skipped over to the American League in the 1900s. But then, today, it was July the 2nd, it was 1903, and he saw that the great shortstop George Davis had skipped to the Giants. 3-1, runner takes off from first, pitches outside. That's ball 4 for Kevin Richards, and a walk given out by Hart. So Ed Delahanty decides, you know what, I'm going to leave Washington, and I'm going to go to the Giants too. So he left the Nationals, they were in Detroit, he boards a train, and off he goes. Now, if you think about going from Michigan toward New York, well, as it so happened, this train was passing over Niagara Falls. And Ed Delahanty got very drunk on this train, and he grew threatening, and the conductor put him off the train. 2-1, one out. The pitch to Aribil Anales. Swings and fouls it on a line down the right side into the Lake County pen. Strike one. So Ed Delahanty is now off the train, and it's right on Niagara Falls. And Adam, as the story goes, drunk Ed Delahanty decides, what should I do? I'll walk across the railroad bridge over the Niagara River. Great idea. And 0-1. Fouled away to the right side. And this was the day in baseball history that the great Ed Delahanty, Hall of Famer, fell off the railroad tracks and onto Niagara Falls. And thus we lost one of baseball's great, great players in Niagara Falls. No balls and two strikes. A spin and a throw into second base, and right off the runner, Winkler, hit by pickoff throw. Looked like it cut him on the two on his back. All right, Jack.
Any type of happy ending to that story? That's a tough one today.
I'm sorry. It's the death of Ed Delahanty in baseball history in Niagara Falls.
Man. All right.
And if you can imagine the sensation that was the news story. 0-2. Smacked up the middle. Back of second base. Grabbed by Tolentino. Steps on his back. Throws to first. That's a double play. And a great reach by Jonah Ron, who at first base. 4 and assisted to 3. Side retired. Adam, I'm sorry. That's the end of the story. That's the end of the inning.
And let's,
yeah.
Niagara fell.
Niagara fell. We go to the bottom of the sixth inning. Our score 4-2. The Lugnuts leading at Lake County. Stay tuned.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
This is Ken Korak, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
And now to the bottom half of the sixth inning as we say farewell to our special visitors to the broadcast booth. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler with Adam Jaxa. It is the Lugnuts leading by a 4-2 score. As we open up the bottom half of the sixth inning, a call to the bullpen. Adam, are you okay?
Everything's good.
Okay, good. New man on the mound, Trayson Kubo, replaces Kumar Nambiar. Nambiar 1 1/3 scoreless. 1 hit, no walks, 2 strikeouts. Kubo fires. The dirtbag, Connor Cox, takes a called strike on the inside corner.
Yeah, you tell him, Jesse.
The Long Beach State dirtbag, Connor Cox, followed by Ramirez and Holmes, 7-8-9, against Trayson Kubo, who offers. Swinging a foul back on the slide piece, and the count is 0-2. We can answer some trivia in this frame?
Yeah, I think we can do that. I'll tell you a little bit about Mr. Kubo. 3.38 ERA. This is his 20th game this year. 20 strikeouts, just 10 walks.
The Lumberjack from Stephen F. Austin kicks, fires. Fastball foul away off to the right side. We stay 0-2. Kubo. Slow clap time. It's building. Lugnuts lead is 2. Trying to split a doubleheader. 6 outs away. Kubo fires. Cox hits it off the hands in the air. Kubo wants it and takes it up the first baseline. Halfway to first, there's one gone.
Well, that's satisfying. You don't really ever get to put F1 or however you score it, but put the one on the catch there. But Kubo was clearly the guy there. He was right off the mound, saw it, made the catch.
Yeah, put a nice P1 down. Pop out to the pitcher.
Yeah, F1, fly out one.
Mikael Ramirez now takes a slider for a called strike. Adam's trivia question of the game had to do with no-hitters. Bob Feller threw, 3 in his career?
3 no-hitters.
0-1 pitch, swing and a miss, strike 2. And you were looking for who Bob Feller keeps company with.
That's right. We get any answers?
We did have an answer. Yes, we did. Let's see. Checking in with the email inbox. We have a guess for Nolan Ryan and Sandy Koufax. Swing and a miss on a slider, strike three. Bounced away from catcher across to the left side. Delivers a throw over to McCall at first, and that completes the strikeout. First strikeout for Kubo, two outs in the sixth inning.
Good guess, a little bit before their time.
Yeah.
It was Cy Young and Larry Corcoran, actually, that he tied up for guys that had had three no-hitters in Major League Baseball. How about that?
Now, I'm sure that I have shared this with you, Adam. The whole, what was Cy Young's first name? Why was he Cy Young? Quentin Holmes swings and misses, strike one.
Yes, you have.
Yeah, Cyclone, Denton True Young. Larry Corcoran, at one point, was a switch pitcher. I did not know that in looking up his history.
What a great stash he used to have.
Oh, yeah. Jared McDonald-esque. Down low, one ball, one strike on Holmes. Two outs, nobody on, bottom of the sixth. Kubo's looking for a perfect frame. 4-2, the Lugnuts are leading. Jack Owen for 3 2/3. Kumar Nambiar for an inning and a third. Now Kubo fires. Slider low. So yeah, when Bob Feller tossed his third no-hitter, he joined Cy Young and Larry Corcoran. Good trivia question. Hitter's pitch on 2-1. Fastball outside, ball three. Lake County's runs, one in the first inning, Petey Halpin singling in Jonathan Rodriguez. One in the second inning, Quentin Holmes singling in Milan Tolentino. And that is all. A three ball, one strike pitch, forthcoming. Fouled off at home plate. Boy, that ball ricocheted off the catcher cross and up high out of the air. Count is full. Lights have been turned on, but it's still plenty light outside. Payoff pitch from Kubo. Fastball grounded weakly to second. Swift vacuums. Swings it over to first. Sidearm. And that'll do it for the sixth. 1-2-3 go the 7-8-9 batters. We are going to the seventh inning. Lugnuts 4, Lake County Captains 2.
What makes essential workers essential?
We build safe roads for you to drive on.
We harvest fresh produce for your families to eat.
We help you heal when you're sick.
We get you where you need to go.
We keep where you work and live clean and safe.
We make sure you get what you need to make your household work.
You're the essential workers who help our nation run. You're in every city, town, and corner of our country, and you come from all over the globe. And you have essential protections under the law. I'm Marty Walsh. The Wage and Hour Division at the Department of Labor helps ensure you receive the essential protections you deserve. If you have questions about your pay or about your job protection during an illness, visit our website or call 866-4-US-WAGE. That's 866-487-9243. We can provide help in more than 200 languages.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Labor.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jake Darnell, and I'm a new ticket account executive here with the Lansing Lugnuts, and excited to have everybody back in for group events here at the ballpark. For wanting to get a hold of ticket package needs or building an enhanced ballpark magic experience for this season, feel free to get in contact with me, and I'd love to help you get set up. I can put you in place with everything from a small corporate client event to a small little get-together for friends and family. So feel free to get the magic out here. Let's see what this ballpark can really hold, and look to hear from you all soon. You can contact me here at the office at 517-827-2582 and ask for Jake.
Hi, this is Vince Catronio, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
Last chance for insurance for the Lugnuts. We open up the top half of the seventh and final inning. Game two of a doubleheader. Patrick McCall takes a called strike. Lugs lead 4-2 over Lake County. The next pitch, fouled off at home plate. McCall against Zach Hart, the right-handed reliever. No balls and two strikes to McCall. 1-2 with a double and a run scored. Hart winds, throws. A very high popping out of the mitt of catcher Ramirez, who leaped up to try a stab. 1-2. 3 in the second, 1 in the fifth for the Nuts. McCullough check swing. Pitch misses low. 2 balls, 2 strikes. One in the first, one in the second for the Caps, and nothing after that. Adam Jackson by my side. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. We'll do it today in Lugnuts history here in this top half of the seventh. The kick, the pitch, fouled away off the left side. I sent Adam a link earlier today. I said, look at this prospect rankings list. Today in Lugnuts history, it was July the 2nd, 2015, that the Toronto Blue Jays traded away the Lugnuts starting second baseman, Timmy LeCastro, also played short. 2-2. McCall hits it high in the air out into center. Petey Halpin now into left center field, tracking it with the catch and out number one. McCall retired. The Blue Jays traded Tim LeCastro and pitcher Chase DeYoung. LeCastro now has been up in the major leagues with the Diamondbacks, currently in the Yankees organization. Chase DeYoung with the Pirates. In exchange for 3 international signing slots on the same day that the Blue Jays gave $3.9 million to 16-year-old Vladimir Guerrero Jr. The pitch to Matt Cross, breaking ball down low, ball one. So, Adam, I wanted to look this up. I had always assumed that Vladdy Jr. was the number one overall international prospect when the Blue Jays signed him. I was wrong. 1-0 from Hart. Fouled off into the screen. Yadier Alvarez, a former Great Lakes Loon who threw 100 miles an hour, he was considered MLB Pipeline's number one international prospect. Vladimir Gutierrez was number two. The pitch, down and away. Gutierrez is currently up in the major leagues with the Reds. And then Yusniel Diaz, Alfredo Rodriguez, Eddie Martinez, Lucius Fox, 2-1. Check swing roller foul to the right side. Fox came up with Tampa Bay, actually Giants and Rays. Now he was with the Nationals. He was number six, and then there, number seven. MLB Pipeline put Vladimir Guerrero Jr., the number seven rated international prospect. Here's the pitch. Hit high in the air by Matt Cross, left side foul ground. It's the third baseman Rodriguez with the catch in the coach's box. 2 outs.
A question for you, Jesse.
Yes.
Who was number eight on that list?
Okay, so right behind Vladimir Guerrero Jr., I'm glad you asked. It's the Lugnuts, Lázaro Armenteros. Signed by the Oakland Athletics, July the 2nd, 2015. How about that? Josh Wainwright is the batter. Here's the pitch. Hit high in the air in the infield. The third baseman, Rodriguez, comes in near his base. He's under, makes the catch at number three. Actually, I believe Armenteros was signed in 2016. Others on this international prospect list, how about Juan Soto, the national superstar, number 25, and Fernando Tatis, number 30, but Lázaro, number 8, and Vladdy Jr., number 7.
Heck of a class.
Lugnuts go down 1-2-3 against Zach Hart in the top of the seventh, going to the home half. Lugs are 3 outs away from the win, leading 4-2 in game 2 of this doubleheader.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel you attract people who tend to be compulsive or abusive?
Do you have money problems because of someone else's drinking?
Are you afraid or embarrassed to bring your friends home?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
More than half of all adults have a family history of alcoholism.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Hi, I'm Marcos Martinez with the Lansing Lugnuts, Group Sales Account Executive. If you're looking to bring a group out this summer to have a blast at the ballpark, give me a call at 517-827-2584. I hope to hear from you, and go Nuts!
This is Ken Korak, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
In game one of today's doubleheader, Lake County won 8-0. Game two, bottom of the seventh, Lugnuts 3 outs away from a 4-2 win. Trace and Kubo deals. Angel Martinez swings back a bunt, and it's called strike one. It is going to be the top of the order here. This is Martinez followed by Naranjo and Rodriguez. 1-2-3. Switch hitter bats left. Righty deals. High and away. 1-1. Martinez is 2-for-3 with 2 singles. He has 2 homers this year up against the Lugnuts. He's a youngster, age 20, out of Santo Domingo, La Capital. The pitch, ground ball up the middle, pass Kubo, back of second on Angeles, fires to first, the stretch of the bag by the 6'6 McCall, and they got him. 1 gone.
That's a heck of a play all around. Tough hop there after it came off the mound for Angeles, had to get it over there quickly, and then McCall. You get those tall guys over at first so they can make a stretch play like that, and the 6'6 lefty used every inch to make that first out.
Yes, indeed. Nacho Naranjo for 3. Lugnuts are 2 outs away from a 4-2 win. Naranjo takes it down and inside, then bouncing off to the left, 1. In the first inning, Jonathan Rodriguez a double with 2 outs. Petey Halpin singled him in. Lake County led 1-0. Matt Cross crushed a 3-run homer in the top of the second. Lugnuts went up 3-1. Kubo offers. Naranjo takes a strike, called on the outside corner. Then in the bottom of the second against the Lug starter Jack Owen, single by Milan Tolentino. Single to second by Connor Cox. Then a double play ball from Mikhail Ramirez. Tolentino to third. Brought home on a Quentin Holmes RBI single to make it 3-2. Naranjo takes. Strike two called at the knees. Angel Martinez then singled. But Joe Naranjo coming up with 2 on and 2 out lined out to second base. And that ended the final threat today for Lake County. They had a couple of walks in the third, a 2-out single in the fourth, a 1-out single in the fifth, and nothing more. Down 4-2. Kubo deals. Naranjo fouls it away to the left. Joe Naranjo is highly vulnerable to the strikeouts. Whiffed back in the first inning. That was his 70th strikeout of the year. 1 out, base is clear. A 1-2 pitch. Slider down and in.
Like that pitch right there. Nearly clipped the zone, but seeing if he could get a swing and a miss. Good effort right there by Kubo.
Currently 1 hour and 51 minutes in unofficially. Kubo throws. Buries a fastball, and the count is full. Now if Naranjo reaches, that brings up Jonathan Rodriguez waiting on deck as the potential game-tying run.
I don't want that. Got to come after this guy now. Naranjo, he's got some pop, so got to be careful, but go right after him.
Nobody walks more on the captains than Naranjo. Payoff. He draws ball four. Kubo missed inside with a fastball.
Missed badly, too. That's not what you want right there. Kubo just didn't have it on that pitch.
First time on base today for Joe Naranjo. So now Jonathan Rodriguez, who had a 2-run double in game one, here in game two, 1-for-3 with a double and a run scored. 9 doubles, 2 triples, 6 homers this year. Righty to righty. Fastball. Inside for 1. Rodriguez 2 days ago crushed his 6th home run of the year. It was a home run over the center field batter's eye. It was pretty impressive. 1 offering from Kubo coming in. Down and away, buried the slider. Naranjo away from first and then right back to the bag with Matt Cross staring him down.
Getting dicey here. That's now 5 straight balls that he's thrown, and Kubo's got to be careful here. 2-0 count. You certainly don't want to put one in there with ease against this guy.
Naranjo leads away from first. 3-for-3 in steals this year. 2-0. Swing and a miss, and Rodriguez went down to 1 knee. He was trying to tie the game.
That's the 2nd time he's done that. Nambiar blew one by him where he left his stance earlier.
He gets his money's worth. Sends up a nice breeze. 2-1. Slider, strike two called.
That's a thing of beauty right there. Get behind 2-0, pump the fastball, the challenge fastball by him, then come back with the slider on the outside corner.
The right-hander out of Hawaii, Trayson Kubo. Deep knee bend has the sign, straightens, black socks up high. The pitch, down and away, on appeal of a check swing. Did he go? No. Count is full. On deck, Petey Halpin, who's had his share of big swings against the Lugnuts. Double play ball would end the game. Nuts are up 4-2 in the bottom of the seventh. One on, one out. 3-2, Naranjo doesn't run, and Kubo misses low. Second straight walk. Immediately, shortstop Angeles is coming out to the mound. Second baseman Swift, two. Catcher crosses there with Kubo. Patrick McCall figures, why not? Here comes third baseman Winkler. And now the pitching coach Don Schulze will really make it a full room.
And he's got good pitches in the at-bats, but he's not finishing these at-bats. Finishing with not competitive pitches in terms of enticing pitches. Missed pretty badly with the Naranjo final pitch. Rodriguez was way outside on that final pitch. And he's doing a lot right in the ABs, but just got to finish them off here to try and finish off the captains in this seventh inning.
We will see a pinch runner at first base for Lake County as well. It is Corey Holland to give the captains speed with that potential game-tying run. We are ready to resume. Tying runs are on. Game-winning run is up. Petey Halpin. There's one out. Bottom of the seventh and final inning. Double play ball would end it. Lugnuts 4, captains 2. Left-handed batter waits. Right-hander kicks and deals. Fastball in the outside corner. Strike called.
Well, this guy has just destroyed Lansing this year, and he's had another great game tonight, so big challenge right here for Trayson Kubo with 2 on.
You and I were joking when the Lugnuts beat the Caps 2 days ago 10-3. Halpin wasn't playing. 0-1. Down low. Smothered to his right by catcher Cross. Well, this year, Trayson Kubo does have 4 wild pitches.
Petey Halpin's had 2 home runs this year, Jesse.
Yeah.
You know who those 2 home runs are against?
Was it the Lugnuts?
It was.
One of them was an inside the Parker in the first game of the series. Mm-hmm. Here's the 1-1 pitch from Kubo. On its way. Halpin swings and misses. Strike two. He brought the express right on the outside corner.
All right, this is where Kubo's gotten to. 2 strikes. Now just trying to finish off the hitter. That's been the last piece in this seventh inning. Let's see if he can do it here.
Halpin gets time granted at home plate. Not quite ready yet. Halpin drafted out of high school. Signed away from a commitment to Texas. 1-2. Slider fouled back to the screen. And before, Adam, he was committed to Texas, he was actually committed to UCLA. Halpin trying to figure out, what am I going to do after high school? Accepted a full ride to UCLA, rescinded it, said, I'm coming to Texas. Cleveland drafted him, signed him. He told the Texas Longhorns, sorry, I'm going pro. Here he is, third rounder 2 years ago. 1-2 pitch, swing and a miss. High heat and they get him. Kubo strikes at Halpin, second out of the seventh.
That's a big time pitch right there. Big time out by Trayson Kubo. We had mentioned it, hadn't been able to finish the at-bats against Naranjo and Rodriguez. He gets the enticing pitch up there. Eye high, fastball, and a big swing and a miss for out number 2.
Brock Whittlesey is warming in the Lugs pen. 2-on, 2 out. Gabriel Rodriguez takes front door slider inside. Ball 1. Rodriguez is 0-for-2 with a pop out to short and a fly out to left. He has also walked in this game. In game 1 of the doubleheader, 1-for-2 with a double, 2 HBPs. Righty, righty, a 1-0. Swing and a miss at a slider. One ball at one strike. Chasen Kubo worked a perfect sixth inning after relieving Nambiar. Began the seventh getting Angel Martinez to ground a short. Walked Naranjo. Walked Jonathan Rodriguez, replaced by pinch runner Holland. Struck out Halpin. Deals to Gabriel Rodriguez. Fastball outside. Two balls, one strike. Gabriel Rodriguez has hit home runs against the Lugnuts this year, too. He has six round trippers in all. Kubo sets and throws. Slider inside. 3-1. The man on deck is Milan Tolentino. A walk would load the bases. Kubo nods yes to the sign from Cross. Stands tall. Left leg kick in the pitch. Slider down and away. The bases are loaded on three walks. So that pushes the tying runs into scoring position, and it puts the game-winning run at first base.
I mean, you just got to put it in the zone. Three free passes in this seventh inning from Kubo. He's had some good at-bats, getting the ground out and the strikeout. And for Tolentino here, got to make him swing.
Left-handed batter. Base is loaded. Two out, bottom of the seventh inning. It comes to this. The pitch. Outside corner, strike called with a fastball.
What do they always say? It's never easy, is it?
Never is. Naranjo, Holland, Rodriguez filling the bags. Kubo delivers. Up very high. Wiggled his fingers after he threw that one. Might have slipped.
It's a big pitch right here. You want to get out and ahead so you have some options.
Tolentino in game one, 1-for-3 with a double. In game two, 1-for-3 with a single. The 1-1. Down low. We've talked about Tolentino's patience. This is his 16th game as a member of the Lake County Captains. He has 12 walks and 14 strikeouts. He works very deep in accounts. Two balls, one strike. The set. The pitch. Swing and a miss. You know, Adam, sometimes you got to rear back and give the cheese.
Come right back to it. Maybe go a little bit above the zone here. Shoulder high, chin high. Come right back with that fastball.
It's been fastball slider mix. Time called at home plate. Just in case we play onward in extra innings, Lake County's bullpen is suddenly active. Bottom of the seventh inning. Lugnuts 4, Captains 2. Bases loaded. Two outs. A 2-2 pitch. Tolentino swings and misses. Chasen Kubo strikes him out. And this ball game is over. The Lugnuts split the doubleheader. They lose game 1-8-0. They come right back and win a thrilling 4-2 nightcap.
Well, it got interesting there in the seventh, didn't it? But Kubo, we talked about it. Just put it in the zone, make him swing, and he can get through this. And he did so. Walked Naranjo, Rodriguez, and the other Rodriguez, but works around it. High-pressure situation and preserves the six-out victory there for the Nuts as he came in the sixth and finishes it off. Three strikeouts for Kubo. Nice win for the Nuts. And this, the Matt Cross game, all four driven in by Matt Cross, including that three-run homer in the second. This is a nice victory for Lansing after an 8-0 loss in game one.
Cross drove in the runs. Cross also handled the pitchers. And so there's Cross at the very end celebrating with Chasen Kubo. Lugnuts improved to 2-6, 27-47 overall. Captains fall to 4-4, 39-35 overall. So the Lugnuts now in this series have won two. They have lost three. They'll go for the series split tomorrow night, 5:15. On the 3rd of July, they will have fireworks here after the game. And then we'll come right back to Lansing to host the 4th of July and the Great Lakes Loons on Sunday at 7:05 p.m. Adam, any final thoughts from today's twin bill?
Just a nice job by Lansing the back half here. Good pitching and found a way to beat a left-hander, Doug Nick Hazy, for a second time this year. And Matt Cross, the big swing, and what a finish by Kubo. Again, it got dicey there in the seventh, but he didn't panic, gets his strikeout, and that's a win for the Nuts and a chance to split the series, as you said, tomorrow. So we'll see you then, Jesse.
Amazing to me. In this game, too, the captain stranded 10 runners on base unofficially, and the Lugnuts left 2 runners on base. When the Lugs had runners on base in this game, they cashed in on those opportunities, and specifically, Matt Cross cashed in. Tomorrow, the starting pitcher matchup. The Lugnuts will send the righty Jake Walkinshaw to the hill. He'll be opposed by Tommy Mace, who I seem to recall, Adam, that the Lugnuts have beaten up this year.
Yeah, and would love to get him again, feeling good, heading home for the fourth on Monday evening. And to get a split here against Lake County, anytime you get a split on the road in the Midwest League, it's a victory. So hopefully the Nuts can do that tomorrow and put together back-to-back wins as they leave town.
Yes, sir. 8-0 Lake County in game one. 4-2 Lugnuts in game two. We wish you well. Have a great night. From Classic Park in East Lake, Ohio, for Adam Jaxa, I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. This has been Lugnuts Baseball.